Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, October 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Michael strengthened into a Category 4 storm early Wednesday with maximum sustained winds of 130 miles per hour. According to the National Hurricane Center's latest advisory, Michael could produce a life-threatening storm surge as high as 13 feet and dump as much as a foot of rain in some places. Weather officials say Michael has been drawing energy from warm Gulf of Mexico waters with ocean temperatures in the mid-80s. Michael is expected to make landfall midday today in the Florida Panhandle. The storm is then forecast to weaken as it moves through the southeastern United States. Florida, Alabama, and Georgia are all in states of emergency.
What about your mom, Preston? Is she?
The Bay Area is going to, they're going to get rain and all that stuff, but they're not going to get the brunt of this thing. Right. So it's kind of a, fortunately, not going to hit that area. The Panhandle's looking pretty nasty, though.
Yeah. And apparently, hurricanes don't hit the Panhandle all that often. Yeah. So everyone's kind of bracing for this. Michael quickly sprang from a weekend tropical depression and in days to a catastrophic system that could be the most destructive storm to hit the Panhandle in decades.
I was going to say, this one kind of came out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Florence, we'd been hearing about for, it seemed like weeks.
Well, Florence came in big and then dropped down. It was still always an issue with the amount of rainfall because it was a slow-moving storm. But this, Kathy, was a 1 and now skipped up to a 4.
But it developed quickly.
Like Casey
was saying, we saw Florence way out in the middle of the Atlantic.
Right.
She's coming.
And then this was like, hey, by the way, this weekend there's going to be a hurricane.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was because, we had Monday off and I just wasn't paying attention, or did this just pop up?
No, I was in Florida over the weekend and nobody was talking about it. So it came along very quickly.
Well, so coastal residents rushed to board up their homes and stock up on bottled water and other supplies. Florida officials said roughly 375,000 people up and down the Gulf Coast have been urged or ordered to evacuate. A former Northampton Township supervisor and his girlfriend are charged with using spy glasses and a webcam in a scheme to incapacitate a woman with alcohol and take intimate photographs of her without her consent. 44-year-old Lawrence J. Weinstein of Cypress Circle and Kelly Drucker of Beacon Hill Drive surrendered to Bucks County detectives on October 9th to be arraigned on multiple felony counts, each including violations of the Pennsylvania Wiretap Act related to the criminal use of a webcam, glasses, and cell phones. They also are charged with misdemeanor counts of false imprisonment, invasion of privacy, recklessly endangering another person, and criminal conspiracy. Weinstein is further accused of indecent assault of an unconscious woman in a separate incident. According to court documents, it was an old cell phone that Kelly Drucker had given her daughter that had dozens of naked photos, videos, and a thread of text messages between her and her boyfriend, Larry Weinstein, that detailed the criminal behavior. Court records reveal what the pair referred to as their mission was hatched last fall. The documents said it was a thread of text messages that Weinstein instructed Drucker to have dinner with a victim, mix a drink of wine and Everclear, and not let her go to the bathroom until she got back to her place, even texting, "Can't wait until so drunk and gets naked."
Yeah, that's just, it's weird.
Insane.
Yeah. And it occurs to me that Weinstein is an ever more problematic name at the time.
Yeah, right.
Once back at Drucker's residence, the victim, now passed out in the bathroom, is allegedly photographed with spy glasses, and they were texting back and forth, and he was like, "Put the glasses on, take the pictures now."
Dear God.
In a separate incident, court records show Weinstein took a selfie with a second victim who appeared to be unconscious in bed. Her shirt was pulled up and her shorts were pulled down in the photo.
This guy makes Woody Allen look like Dwayne Johnson.
Man, he's a bit frail.
Yeah. Seriously.
I don't get, I've said this many times, there's so much pornography out there. You know what I mean? What can't you find? Have we been to too many strip clubs? Have we been around too many naked people to, you know what I mean?
I completely understand what you're saying. There is a whole bunch of, depending on your level of perception, innocuous ways to get your rocks off if you're this kind of pervert.
Yeah, but,
this, it's like with Bill Cosby, for example, that whole thing that we ask constantly about. Here's a guy who had power, who could have,
you guys
worked
are asking
his deal.
Relatively logical questions.
You're right. For insane people. I get it. It's still a mind.
It is. I mean, you think that you would be able to understand it because we understand it, but these people are not thinking clearly.
I think there's an innately predatory element to this sort of thing where they want to get them into
I guess it's a
state of submission.
It's the same thing of people who steal for a thrill.
Yes.
Whatever.
Like Winona Ryder. Remember Winona Ryder shoplifting. She had more than enough money.
She had millions of dollars.
There's also women that will do this. Like, they had to have her get so drunk that they could take it. There are women who will probably just come over and let you take pictures. So
you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Weinstein resigned from the township last month for personal reasons. Weinstein and Drucker are currently free on $300,000 unsecured bail. Now, we've had this discussion on the show before. As long as the older kids come in costume to your house on Halloween and trick or treat, you'll give them candy.
Yes.
Right?
Costume. Yeah, but what kind of costume are we talking about? Are they just putting on their
as long as they're in a costume. I'm just saying, what we talked about is as long as they're in a costume, we'll give them candy.
Yes.
Well, some cities are not only suggesting an age limit on trick or treating, but they will send kids over the legal limit to jail for dressing up.
What city?
And going door to door looking for candy.
Wow.
In Chesapeake, Virginia, where anyone over the age of 13 who is caught trick-or-treating can be sent to jail for up to 6 months and fined.
Man. Come on!
13!
Come on!
That's still a kid!
13, that's still a kid.
13 is still a kid. I would say driver's license and then, but not jail.
Listen. Stupid. So last year there were two or three girls dressed as Raggedy Ann and the whole thing, and they may be 15, 16, and they were having a blast.
Yeah.
Of course we gave them Halloween candy.
They're kids. They are kids.
Yeah, and dressing up, absolutely.
Yes, it was a theme. They were having fun, and that's the deal.
But Casey, and this is, I know we've talked about it many times, might be discussion coming up very soon, but just the football jersey, and that's it.
Yeah.
If you put on a helmet, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yes!
Put on your whole, if you're a football player, you have the whole costume.
Here's the deal, though. I understand. You're very militant about it. I understand that. But if it's off hours and you're putting on your costume, yes, it's an easy out. But at least you got dressed up a bit to go out and collect.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Candy.
But put on your whole uniform. Yeah,
but if you put on the helmet, that's
not
a sell.
Just your jersey, because
not just
no,
your jersey.
That's BS.
Come on, man. But yeah, all right. Anyway, this is stupid.
You put on the whole thing in the cleats.
And you know what? Like, we always talk about how kids are growing up so fast, and you know they're getting into things that they shouldn't be in at such a young age. You're taking away this kid activity for six months
in jail.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I probably trick-or-treated longer than any of you guys. I loved it.
I
loved it. I did it all through high school.
I mean, my youngest son is as tall as I am, and he still wants to do it.
Yeah.
Then there came that time, we've talked about it. My friend and I went up to the door. We were wearing costumes. Door opens up. The guy looks at us. Yeah. Okay, maybe we're too old. If you could not get what we're in costume.
Senior year of high school, I say. Once you're in college.
Listen, I don't care. If you have a costume, you're an adult, I'll give you candy.
A couple of years ago, all these girls came up to trick or treat, and they were walking around with their mom, and their mom had a bag too. And she was like, yep.
Why not?
I want candy. All right, so this is Chesapeake, Virginia, where apparently you can go to jail if you're over the age of 13. Now, in Newport, Virginia, kids can trick-or-treat until 7th grade or until they turn 12. After that, it's a misdemeanor.
Oh, shut
12
up.
12 years old.
Virginia. No, that's ridiculous.
I used to like you, Virginia.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Several North Carolina...
What are you going to hit them up for ID when they show up at the house?
Several North Carolina cities have similar legal restrictions for 12 or 13-year-olds, as well as a 9 p.m. curfew for everyone. Now, parts of South Jersey, which is closer to us, the curfew is 7 o'clock, with kids in Upper Deerfield Township also being told that 12 is the official cutoff for trick-or-treating.
I think the rules that we laid out are the rules that they should adopt, not this ridiculous 12, 13 random age selection.
Yeah, not at my house. You can come trick-or-treat. I'll give you candy. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
In their home opener against the San Jose Sharks, the Flyers lost badly, falling 8-2.
Jesus.
Joe Pavelski scored two of San Jose's four first-period goals, and Evander Kane also scored twice to lead the Sharks to the win. Flyers fans were buzzing from the pregame festivities from the home opener, which included mascot Gritty rappelling from the rafters to the ice when the game got off to a bad start as the Sharks scored two goals in just 11 seconds apart.
believable.
The Flyers are back on the road with a game in Ottawa against the Senators, and the puck drops at 7:30.
Two goals in 11 seconds.
I looked down, I looked up, and I was like, I guess they're showing a replay from a different angle? Nope.
No. There was only one game in the baseball playoffs last night, and the Boston Red Sox beat the Yankees 4-3 in the Bronx to advance to the American League Championship Series. The 108-win Red Sox reached the ALCS for the first time since Boston won the World Series in 2013. A year after losing to Houston in a four-game ALDS, the Red Sox open a best-of-seven matchup against the Astros on Saturday night at Fenway Park. Houston went 4-3 against Boston this year. The NLCS featuring the LA Dodgers and the Brewers will begin on Friday night in Milwaukee. The Eagles lost Jay Ajayi for the season with a torn ACL. So according to Josh Reed of WIVB in Buffalo, the Eagles have called the Bills about a possible trade for former Eagle LeSean McCoy. McCoy is the Eagles' all-time leading rusher, and it was Chip Kelly, not Howie Roseman, who traded McCoy away before the 2015 season. In four games this season, McCoy has 45 carries for 170 yards and no touchdowns. He also had 10 catches for 64 yards. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, hey.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. I need to hurry up. We already got a lot of stuff going on today, and I want to get to it right away. So I'll mention a few things that we have going on. We have birthday bucks around 8 o'clock. Chance to win $1,000, your first opportunity. We're going live on Fox Good Day today. We have a number of guests on the show, some of our absolute favorites. We begin with Doug Benson, who is in town. Doug loves movies tonight at Helium Comedy Club, and Doug is going to be stopping in about 8:20 this morning.
Might be the longest we've gone without seeing Doug in a year, because usually we'd see him at Hershey.
Yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah, so he is going to be here today. We are also going to have this group of actors that are stopping in. It's called Mid-90s, correct, Casey?
Yeah.
And it's a group of kids that are the stars of the film. They're people you never heard of. They're newcomers. Doug Benson loves this movie, so he's going to be here. We have to have him in at the same time with this group of actors.
Yeah, it's Jonah Hill, and wrote and directed it. And Preston, we were watching the trailer, and I think you said it, and I agree. It's like those movies that are sort of... like Kids or Foxes
almost Youth Gone Wild type
thing. Right, where kids form a secondary family outside of their house. It looks really cool.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what that's all about. So we'll have those guys in, and we are going to talk to Mr. Michael Giacchino this morning, the composer extraordinaire for the world of television and screen, or the big screen as well. And so he has scored the film Bad Times at the El Royale, which is in theaters on Friday, and also has written and directed a short film called Monster Challenge, which has a whole bunch of stars in it.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It's funny. So we're going to talk to him this morning as well. So he'll be giving us a call. That's always nice. Around 9:30, we'll talk to him.
And it's his birthday today.
No way.
He's getting up early in L.A. to call us on his birthday.
It's 6:30 a.m. on his birthday
in
L.A. Is
there an Acme near his house in L.A.? We can
send him a cake.
Send him a cake.
I told him we'd have a cake in studio for his honor.
Do something. We have a meet and eat today as well. Bud Light Philly Tour is going to be heading to Misconduct on JFK Boulevard. Marissa will be there from 7 to 9. And that is that tomorrow, Marissa? It's tonight? No, it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Oh, she gave me thumbs up. I thought that meant this evening. Anyway,
she's doing the shocker.
Anyway, so that will be tomorrow night. And we have a secret text word today. We have a chance for you to win tickets to see Jim Brewer at the Queen in Wilmington, Thursday, the 15th of November. So text the word secret to 39333. I think you know how that works. We'll get that going a little bit later on. We have our Cream of the Scream stop, which is coming up at Bates Motel, and it is on Thursday, this Thursday from 6 to 8. You know what? Oh, my God.
Yes.
I know.
How did we get behind the eight ball on that?
Well.
Okay, we have to sign up 100 people between now and tomorrow.
Oh, we can do that.
Well, we got to do 10 right now.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Call now. We'll put you on the list. This is, of course, to head to the Bates Motel tomorrow night in Glen Mills, rated the number one haunted attraction in America, featuring the most heart-pounding haunted hayride in the country, the Terrorizing Revenge of the Scarecrows Trail at the Bates Motel Haunted House. Plus, you check out their mobile escape rooms. Tickets at thebatesmotel.com. 215-263-WMMR. 10 callers right now. We'll put you on that list. Call only if you can go. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. More giveaways and the entertainment report coming up next. Stay there.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Adam Conover of True TV's Adam Ruins Everything. And that's going to be at North 7th, that used to be the Electric Factory, on Saturday, December 1st. And the question I have for you is, what car manufacturer's logo is known as the bow tie? 215-263-WMMR. See if you know the answer. We're still taking callers for the Bates Motel thing we were giving away.
Well, they know.
There's so many we have to give away. Yeah. But right now we're switching gears. What car manufacturer's logo is known as the bow tie? 215-263-WMMR. I have a ton of really good birthdays today, some that I missed until Nick just pulled up a web page full of them. So I'm going to hit those first. From the Goldbergs, Wendy McClendon Covey.
So good.
She's wonderful.
First time I saw her was on Reno 911. Mm-hmm. She was great. She played a sex pot, totally different than Beverly Goldberg. But she comes from like the you know, those improv groups. I think maybe the Groundlings or one of those groups. But she's hilarious. And as Beverly Goldberg, she's as real and as tangible as can be.
She's fantastic. So
the Bevolution.
Happy 49th birthday to her. Bradley Whitford.
Yeah.
Another guy who I hated so many characters he played because he played just a snide little a-hole so well.
You can despise him and still really like him. There's a movie called Cabin in the Woods, Preston, that he's in, and it's Joss Whedon movie. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't. I've seen parts of it, and I need to see the
movie.
Honestly,
it transcends horror in a way that I think you'll find really entertaining, but he's essentially a bad guy who you kind of really like.
Yeah.
You know?
He's in Billy Madison, and there are just some, like, really, really great moments between Adam Sandler and him. The one where he's like, I fell asleep the other day. And he goes, did you fall asleep or pass out? And then Adam Sandler goes,
shut up! Yeah.
But when they're at dinner, and Bradley Whitford starts, like, you know, making faces at him.
Yeah.
And then he just starts yelling at him in gibberish. Ah, God, he's sick.
He was also the a-hole boyfriend in Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, was he really?
He was the a-hole. He was the head of the fraternity in Revenge of the Nerds 2.
And the a-hole dad in Get Out.
Yeah, he was. And he was in Scent of a Woman. He, even though he wasn't really an a-hole, he played kind of a snide little guy in that. And he's got in Handmaid. He's in Handmaid's Tale.
And then he
shows
up in Handmaid's
Tale.
He's
fantastic.
And you don't know what to think.
You don't know what to think of him. So he's great, man. So happy birthday to Bradley Whitford. And he celebrates his 59th birthday today. it is also David Lee Roth's birthday.
Oh.
David Lee Roth of Van Halen.
Oh, yeah.
And he's 64
no
years old.
No love you'd call real. Former morning show man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Took over after Howard for a little
while.
Yeah,
that did not work.
Bit of a stunt.
We talked to him about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, there was a time when I thought he was the coolest person in the world.
Yeah.
As far as rock stars go. I mean, he had.
Can't argue with his frontman capabilities. But you would always say, Preston, seeing them live, he was a bit of a disappointment.
He wouldn't sing.
He couldn't sing, yeah.
He talked his way through half the words. And, I mean, he was so busy doing showman moves, which is great. It looks great on stage, but I also would like to hear the songs somewhat sung as I've known them, as I've come to know them as.
Come to known as. What level of writing did he do?
Lyrically, he was all over it. I think that's pretty much what he handled.
Yeah.
And so I think they wrote the music, he wrote the lyrics, and he's a great showman, and he was very charismatic, and he certainly had his own style.
Listen to this sound, though. This is such a...
God, I love this song.
Could identifiable sound.
At night I walk this stinking street past the crazies on my block, and great song. I see the
Rock music you can dance to, right? I mean, that was the whole the whole pitch for Van Halen. I got high with him once.
Really?
Yeah, at Pierre's 20th anniversary.
That's pretty cool.
And it was really powerful stuff.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was an enjoyable experience.
Wow. David Lee is 64 today. Let me zip through these other ones here. And since I used the word zip, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah.
He goes pretty fast. NASCAR driver. He is 44 years old today. Did he retire?
He's retired, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He retired. I guess last season might have been his last.
Yeah, and you know
what?
So I did the, the Drive for Autism golf outing. And I golfed with J.J. Yelly. And then I also golfed with, like, his cousin, who is Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Biff Tickleson.
Well, it was kind of funny to play golf with this guy. And, you know, you spend a few minutes with him, and you're like, "This, all right, so this is somebody." And you know, but I don't know who I'm golfing with. I know JJ, and I know, like, this other guy, but I don't know this other dude, you know. And as it turns out, it was Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s grandson, but his cousin. Does that make any sense?
I don't know. I don't understand. But I know it was removed from the main man himself.
It was, yeah.
Okay, so Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 44 today. Brett Favre is celebrating his 49th birthday
today.
Favre, Mario Lopez, A.C. Slater.
Yes.
Is 45 today.
And actually a pretty accomplished boxer.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean accomplished?
He is.
Like, has actually fought and won
people
fights?
who have trained him say he, he's actually, apparently has.
Okay.
As the rumor goes.
Really?
Tanya Tucker, the country singer. There was a time where she was the hottie way back when.
She was the hottie, long relationship with Glenn Campbell, who passed recently.
60 years old today. Ben Vereen, great actor and dancer, 72. Then you have Peter Coyote.
Yes.
He's been in lots of movies throughout the years.
He was the federal agent in E.T., and he does tons of voiceover work.
Yeah, he's made a big career out of that, but Jagged Edge and A Walk to Remember and Aaron Brockovich, he was in all those. He's 77 today. And then the last birthday I saw is Amy Teagarden, who is from Friday Night Lights and Scream 4 and Prom. Yeah, she's 29.
And one more.
Oh, my God.
What?
And, Nick had already mentioned it. It's Michael Giacchino.
Michael Giacchino.
Michael Giacchino, who has written and he's written so many amazing pieces of music. It's too many to mention.
A worldly known good guy.
He's a worldly known good guy. Absolutely. I'll just roll through a couple of here. The Incredibles, Mission Impossible 3, Ratatouille, Star Trek, Up. Super 8, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Jurassic World, Inside Out, Zootopia, Star Trek Beyond, Doctor Strange, Rogue One, Spider-Man Homecoming, which we were in the studio to watch him conduct and perform, War of the Planet of the Apes, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, The Incredibles 2's, Coco, amazing. And he'll be on this morning, which is really cool, so we'll talk to him later. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question, what Cars manufacturer logo is known as the bow tie, and I will go to Katie for the answer. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Katie. So what car manufacturer's logo is known as the bow tie?
That would be the Chevrolet.
Yes, Chevrolet. Correct. Hang on a moment. We're going to set you up, Katie. We're going to take care of you with some tickets to see Adam Conover of True TV's Adam Ruins Everything, North 7th. That's formerly the Electric Factory on Saturday, December 1st. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. All right, a lot of stuff to get to. 2018 American Music Awards were last night.
Incredibly exciting.
And it was the first award show performance in 3 years from Taylor Swift, and she went on to win big, and she broke a record while she was at it. She opened the show with her song, I Did Something Bad, from the album Reputation. She was nominated for 4 of the top awards at the show, including Artist of the Year, Favorite Pop Rock Female Artist, Favorite Pop Rock Album, and Favorite Tour, and she took home 3 of those, which breaks the record for most AMAs won by a female.
She was obviously just dominating last night. And it's kind of wild because I perceived her career as sort of, evening out. She was on such a meteoric rise. It seemed to be we're hearing less of Taylor Swift. But last night, she was back in full vigor.
While we're looking at video footage, she looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a very shiny outfit.
And she had these heels on during this dance number that they're showing right now.
Wow. She's tall to begin with.
She's super tall, yeah.
She's not the country girl we knew.
No,
is she?
No.
Things have changed a tad bit. The show also paid tribute to the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, with a retrospect video about the late singer's career and legacy. Her contemporary Gladys Knight sang Amazing Grace. I think we have a clip of that.
We do.
I don't know how much of it we'll play. Let's hear it. This is, I guess, the beginning of it.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that it saved a wretch like me.
It's a soulful version. It went on, as you would imagine at this pace.
Gladys can sing. Dude.
Sure can.
Yeah.
They cut to a shot. It was very powerful. Tyga was crying.
Oh.
Wow.
Let's see. Gospel singer Donnie McClurkin performed Franklin's Climbing Higher Mountains before introducing CeCe Winans, who sang Oh Mary, Don't You Weep with a gospel choir.
He was nominated for his album, Jerkin' the McClurkin.
Who was? CeCe Winans?
No,
Donnie McClurkin.
Ladizzi joined on to sing How I Got Over, and of course I'll butcher that name because I'm not familiar with who that is. And Mary took the stage to close out the tribute. So it was a nice tribute to the Queen of Soul.
It was an efficient award show, a couple performances, but I there's something about, it's sort of lifeless, you know? It's kind of a conveyor belt.
What channel was it on?
ABC.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the teases for it, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know it was on last night.
I think, Preston, this is one where they sort of know they're going to win in advance, or at least have a good, strong indication.
Yep. So anyhow, she was the big winner of the night. That was Taylor Swift. So Meghan Markle's family drama just won't dissipate. The latest has the Duchess of Sussex nephew, Tyler Dooley, cast in MTV's The Royal World.
Whoa.
Tyler is the son of Meghan's estranged half-brother, Thomas Markle Jr. The show is set to premiere November 7th. The unscripted series follows the lives of young royals, aristocrats, and wannabes.
This is what happens when people stop acting royal and start acting like commoners.
As they come together to live in the English countryside and have their every moment filmed.
Prince Charles, would you get that film?
Tyler, the show admits, isn't royal. It's just your average kind of guy in the trailer.
How much do you want to bet that Meghan Markle's asking if MI6 can be sent forward to kill these people?
Tyler admits that his only connection is, quote, my auntie Meghan.
Oh, boy.
Tyler doesn't just leverage his auntie for reality fame. He also uses the connection to highlight his marijuana dispensary in Oregon. It's called the Royally Grown. We've talked about this before. And he offers one strain called Meghan Sparkle, which his site describes as extremely potent.
You kind of have to like that. I mean, he's being an entrepreneur.
Now, meanwhile, her estranged half-sister Samantha isn't taking no for an answer. Despite being denied entry at Kensington Palace, the 54-year-old tells the Daily Mail that she won't give up on getting herself and her father Thomas royally recognized. They love it when you make a lot of noise.
Yes.
She said, I wanted to
do... The Queen's thrilled with this.
I wanted to do the right thing. Acknowledge my dad for primarily raising her and making her everything she is. She knows that he's awesome. She said, let's just cut through all the crap. You're a woman. Life is short. I believe you have it in your heart to do the right thing here.
So she's looking for a royal decree of his awesomeness?
You know dad loves you. You know he's been there for you more than anyone. So don't believe this public monster and misperception that he's a sperm donor dad trying to be involved all of a sudden.
Oh, my God.
On a positive note, Meghan seems to be getting along fine with the family that she married into. According to reports, Princess Eugenie turned to Meghan for help planning her October 12th wedding to Jack Brunsbank. Earlier this week, the palace shared some intel on the royal wedding cake. Princess Eugenie of York and Mr. Brooksbank have asked London-based cake designer Sophie Cabot to make their wedding cake. The palace said in a press release, the red velvet and chocolate cake will be a traditional cake with a modern feel. It will incorporate the rich colors.
It's going to look like a pair of boobs, Preston.
Of autumn in its design and will be covered with detailed
sugar work, including ivy. You know, it's funny here in this particular story that I'm reading. It says it will incorporate the rich colors. And it says next to the word colors, S-I-C, which stands for spelled incorrectly. But they spelled it C-O-L-O-U-R-S.
That's the way the Brits do.
That's the way the Brits spell it.
Yes, so it's, oh my God.
Actually, that's spelled properly in their eyes. Eugenie is expecting 850 guests, a bigger crew than the 600 that Meghan and Prince Harry had. Like Meghan and Harry, Eugenie will get married at St. George's Chapel in Windsor.
I'm not familiar with Eugenie.
So neither was I, so I looked her up because I didn't know this in advance. Her father is Prince Andrew, and her mom is Fergie. Sarah, Duchess of York.
She has a little bit of Fergie look about her. I can see that. Okay. Harvey Weinstein's due in court on Thursday, tomorrow, to find out if a judge will allow some or all of his cases to be thrown out. A court spokesman told the AP that Judge James Burke will deliver a partial ruling on defense motions tomorrow.
I wonder if he's going to sandblast his face tonight to look all pretty for the judge.
Of course, 80 women have accused the man, but Weinstein is facing a 6-count indictment addressing allegations from the 3 of the 80 women. Many of his accusers will never see their cases in court due to the statute of limitation laws.
He's one of those guys, Preston, when you see him and you think of what he's accused of, you just go,
oh, yeah.
What a monster.
His legal team, led by Benjamin Braffman, has said that prosecutors failed to inform the grand jury of evidence showing Weinstein's friendly relationship with one of the 3 accusers. Braffman is asking the judge to dismiss one assault count, claiming prosecutors could not pinpoint the date it allegedly occurred.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Weinstein is still making time for his favorite A-list stars. TMZ captured him making a pit stop at a Westport, Connecticut gas station over the weekend. While there, he reportedly spent some time checking out Nicole Kidman's Marie Claire magazine cover. He was reportedly less enthusiastic about Jennifer Aniston and Gwen Stefani's latest cover.
So he's at the magazine rack inside the gas station?
I guess so. Checking her out.
You have cowtails?
Yeah. Steve, I know you're aware of this, but the CW has unveiled our first look at Ruby Rose in her Colleen Atwood-designed Batwoman supersuit.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks very comic book accurate with the bat symbol, the cape, and, of course, Kate Kane's patented long red hair. It looks badass.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, she looks really good. I think they padded the suit out. I told you, I think she's too skinny, too frail looking to play a character.
Maybe she
like
threw
that
on some, jacked up a little bit for the role.
The suit looks great.
Yeah, it looks great. She looks great. I'm looking forward to it.
Rose will make her debut in this year's 3-night Arrowverse crossover Elseworlds, which will include Arrow, The Flash, and Supergirl. If everything goes according to plan, Rose will also headline her own Batwoman series, as the network is currently developing a standalone series around the character as well. The modern incarnation of Batwoman was important when she debuted in 2006 because she was one of DC Comics' first openly gay characters, and Rose will make a similar splash if the show gets picked up to the series, making her the lead of the first TV series focused on a gay superhero. Although details about the crossover are scarce, we do know a few things. Supergirl, Green Arrow, and The Flash wind up traveling to Gotham City because of the machinations of Dr. John Deegan, a possibly insane Arkham Asylum doctor. And that's going to be played by Jeremy Davies. And you know him. Mm-hmm. He was in, he played Opham in Saving Private Ryan. He was also in Lost. He played Faraday, I think was his character.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he was. Yeah, he's really
good. He's great. Yeah. The epic event will also introduce the Monitor, Lois Lane, and Nora Fries. Elseworlds begins Sunday, December 9th with The Flash at 8 p.m., Monday, December 10th at 8 with Arrow, and then it concludes the following night at 8 p.m. with Supergirl. So they're going to roll out this big, epic 3-part thing to introduce her.
So they've done a couple of these multi-show crossovers, and they can be really good, and they can be so they can be problematic. But it's cool that they do this. And then, Preston, the word came out that, with Gotham wrapping up, the final episode will take place 10 years in the future with the first, I think it would be the first television version of Batman since Adam West.
Yeah, I believe that.
So they're going to show Batman.
That's cool, man. All right, so but check out the picture of Ruby Rose's Batwoman. Pretty damn cool. Okay, I don't believe this, but I'm gonna present this anyway. This is a source. Despite his post-divorce getaway with Playboy model Shauna Sexton, Ben Affleck is reportedly forging a new solo path ahead.
Really?
A friend tells People he
but she catches fish.
He enjoys. There's a picture of her yesterday with a fish. You're correct.
It was tiny.
It was too small.
Was that the litmus test?
I'm sure. I'm assuming
Preston,
assuming
was
she
that
threw
the
it
test?
Back. What?
Go catch a fish.
Yeah.
Let me see how big it is.
And it was too small.
It's not picture worthy.
Yeah. I'm throwing it back, and I'm throwing you back.
Unless it was the first fish she ever caught in her entire life.
Right.
That fish is not picture worthy.
It's a rainbow trout, but it's very, very tiny. So anyhow, Ben Affleck is reportedly going solo. This is according to a friend. He enjoyed being with her, but is working on himself and being together with her at this time is not something that works, the friend says.
This was our advice yesterday.
He will date in the future, but for now, his focus is on his sobriety, family, and his next project.
He listens to us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a comment on that fish picture with Shauna that just says, "You are so cute. Do not destroy Ben, please."
Nice. So Affleck and Garner just formalized their split over the weekend as Affleck simultaneously celebrated 40 days of sobriety.
Is she dating anybody? Garner?
I think she is.
No.
I think she might have somebody. Nothing ultra serious.
All right.
But, yeah, I think she is.
I don't know. My sparrows haven't spoken to me about that yet.
Do you know who would be a good fit for her?
Uh-uh.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but he's with that other one.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger's daughter.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. What else do I have for you here? While she didn't give Teen Vogue too much in her cover interview, Lily Reinhart did share some details of her romance with Riverdale co-star Cole Sprouse.
Oh, I'm all over this.
She told the magazine, "I like to go on adventures with Cole.
I like soup."
She says, "Truly adventures. He takes me to places where I'm like, how did you find this?
This is truly adventure."
And that's all that I have on that.
That's an incredible story.
This is truly adventure.
Like, how did you find this?
Look, I caught a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
This is so adventure.
Don't Google the symptoms. In November issue of O Magazine, Oprah Winfrey shares that she learned the hard way not to Google health symptoms. Even when her doctor told her that swollen lymph nodes were probably just from blocked salivary glands, she couldn't accept it. So
this is sage advice.
She got a second opinion. Turns out the doctor was right. Google and WebMD are wrong. As she said, as they say, you don't appreciate your health until you no longer have it. Before this scare, I'd taken my salivary glands for granted. Actually, I'm pretty sure that I'd never thought of them at all. But there's nothing wrong in getting a second opinion.
Not at all. From another doctor.
It's recommended, actually, on many occasions. In a profile in Variety, Tiffany Haddish sounded off on several issues. On pay parity between genders, she says that she wants women to talk to each other. She said, "I think the reason why a lot of times we don't get paid the same as men do is because we don't talk about it. I think we do need to talk about it because I'm sure get in there and I'm like, hey, Kate Hudson, how much they pay you for that? What kind of perks did you get for that?" She also thinks awards are overrated. She said, "I didn't get a check with it. When people really want those Oscars so bad and those Emmys and everything so bad, I thought it was because they give you a check." So, like, they come out.
It's a cash award, too.
They come out with the award, and they hand you a check. I've been watching sports, NASCAR, horse races, championships, football games. They get a trophy, a ring, and a bonus check.
Yeah.
But when you win an Emmy, they give you a gift bag of a bunch of things that you probably aren't going to really use. She said, "I like the trophy a lot, but don't get me wrong, but they should have put a check in there."
I'll tell you what, man. In The Oath, she's really good.
Yeah, Steve, I watched it after you said what you said about it, and I agree with you 100%. She's great in it, and it's not what you expect. It's not a food fight at Thanksgiving because somebody's a Republican and somebody's a Democrat. It gets dark, but it's really compelling.
After a 2-year hiatus, Behati Prinsloo says that she's returning to Victoria's Secret Runway.
Yeah!
She shared the news on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. She said, "I actually am."
Yes. It's very cool. And then it's off to fish.
She said, "I'm coming back this year. I missed 2 years. I was pregnant, so I'm really excited to walk this year."
The Victoria's Secret commercial came on last night, and they have all the models, and the glow that used to be the immediate, oh my God, Victoria's Secret models is gone for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work for me. You know what I'm saying?
I fell into that camp too, and then I saw a commercial that did it for me again.
But Which one is it?
I don't remember.
Because I haven't seen it.
It was a while back.
Okay.
It was a while back, and I remember just, Victoria's Secret, whoa, wait a minute. And I liked it.
It's always on during camp out.
Oh yeah, well the big runway show, but right. These days they are looking way too emaciated.
Prinz Lou welcomed her second child with Adam Levine, Gio Grace Levine, in February. Others set to strut are Winnie Harlow, Shanina Shaikh, Tony Garn, and Jose Canseco.
Don't know any of these names, except for Jose Canseco.
That's not Jose Canseco.
Jose Canseco?
Josie.
Oh, sorry.
I wouldn't doubt it, though, if Jose Canseco is related to Jose
Could
Canseco.
Could be, right?
Gotta be. Yeah. Gotta be.
I don't know. You have to look that up. You look up Josie Canseco and see if she has any relation. Model, Playboy, Playmate of the Month, 2003
Pictorial. There you go. She's the daughter of Jose.
Daughter of Jose.
There you go.
Sure enough. And former model Jessica Seekley, who I guess was his squeeze for a while.
Remember we used to know all the names, though, of those models?
Yeah.
There
was a time.
It's not the thing.
Let's see. Time for... one more thing. Gwyneth Paltrow is fighting back against critics who say her namesake brand Goop practices pseudoscience. Recently sat down with BBC to address the criticism.
No, it's not pseudo. It's completely false science.
Yeah.
She defends Goop's alt-medicinal push, saying, "We really believe that there are healing modalities."
Yes, to the vaginal egg.
"That have existed thousands of years, and they change maybe a very conventional Western doctor that might not believe necessarily in the healing powers of essential oils or any variety of acupuncture. Things that have been tried and tested for hundreds of years," she said. "We find that they are very healthy to people, and there's an incredible power in the human body to heal itself. So I think anytime you are trying to move the needles and you're trying to empower women, you find resistance, and we just think that's part of what we do, and we're proud to do it."
She's feeling the heat now because she has two competitors, Splat and Queef.
Okay. And, against Goop?
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
they all have the same sound effect.
Yeah. They're all feeling the heat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Goop paid a $145,000 settlement over the erroneous scientific claims about the benefits of putting the jade egg and the rose quartz egg in the vajayjay.
Yeah.
To increase sexual energy. So we should do clips now.
All right.
All right. So we had mentioned Riverdale earlier, so we'll do one. It's a modern story based off of the old Archie comics. Brings together a talented cast from all over the world. Here, show star KJ Apa talks about his fear of playing a character that's an American staple. Here we go.
I was kind of nervous because I knew it was such an iconic all-American character. And coming from New Zealand, I thought I'd get a bit of stick from it. Yeah. You know, because fans being like, you know, this is a New Zealander playing an all-American character. This is not right.
I don't give a f***.
New season of Riverdale premieres tonight, 8 o'clock. That's on the CW.
Can you believe he's playing Archie?
Why? Because he's
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Let's do the next clip. Each episode of ABC's Goldbergs features a classic home video made by Adam Goldberg. Here, the writer and creator talks about how the show came to be after the cancellation of another show.
Doug is my producer. He produces all my shows. And he said he saw my videos. And Doug said, "It's time we take out your family show. It's something the bullet you've always had in the chamber." And I had kids, and I was now a parent, so I really had perspective, and that was really it.
Yeah!
The Goldbergs have a new episode tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC.
So it's rad tonight, by the way.
It's rad tonight,
and I just want to interject here real quick, because we had had him on last week, and we had mentioned Pulsar.
Yes.
And Pulsations, and we had a little bit of a nibble. Somebody said that they knew somebody who had the robot.
Yes.
Adam is now ravenous for this thing. He has actually tweeted to me. He had sent Ike Richman, who you guys
know,
is like, you know, he like a media manager for him. Ike reached out to us like, "Dude, he wants Pulsar."
I thought somebody knew. Oh, was it just
we don't know. We don't know.
The guy said he knew the guy, but he used to know him.
He used to know the guy.
And doesn't know how to get in touch with him. Right?
All right.
That's kind of where we are now.
So here's the clarion call. We need Pulsar.
We need Pulsar. And because they want to ship Pulsar out to L.A. to be in an episode of The Goldbergs.
How cool.
So we need to put that out there. If you know, or if you have Pulsar, you know someone who has that robot, because he's around here somewhere,
please get in touch with us so we can put them in touch with Adam Goldberg and get Pulsar out to California. And who knows, maybe they'll pay him for it. Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. If not.
And it'll be on the show.
Preston, do we send Birdbot?
We could send Birdbot any place.
Quite fit, right?
Pulsar. So we need you to contact us. So everybody start talking to everybody who knows a thing or two about that and see if we can make this happen. I think that'd be really cool if we can make that work. All right. We've got to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Secret text word today. Chance for you to win tickets to see Jim Brewer, the Queen in Wilmington on Thursday, November 15th. Text word secret to 39333. Yes, Casey?
Can we give away more Bates passes for tomorrow night, Cream of the Scream at the Bates Motel? Can we do that?
Yeah, what time do people need to be there?
Oh, Jesus. It says it up there. 6 to 8.
All right.
It's going to be awesome.
We'll take, we need to get 100 by tomorrow. So we'll take another 10 callers at 215-263-WMMR. Sorry to spring you this on you last minute, but man, did they do it upright at the Bates Motel.
They have so much. If you consider yourself an aficionado of these things, you're not if you've never been to the Bates Motel.
So call right now, 215-263-WMMR. 10 callers to put you on the list. We're going to take a break and be back in a minute. So many people on the show today. So many things going on. You got to stick around. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Birthday box coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going live on Fox Good Day right before them. Doug Benson's going to be in our studio, as well as cast members of the movie Mid-90s. We're going to talk to Michael Giacchino today. We have the Philly tour stopping in with Bud Light. Misconduct will be here. Marissa's there tomorrow night from 7 to 9. We're going to do some passes to give away again with our Bates Motel Cream of the Scream. We have a secret text word today.
Oh,
chance for you to win tickets to see Jim Brewer, so you can see why I'm moving along very quickly as we're doing this. So text word secret of 39333, and I'm going to go to Mike on the phone line, who might have a lead on Pulsar the robot. Hey, Mike.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're awesome, bud. All right, so quickly, because we got a lot to get to. Do you actually, you know who has Pulsar?
I know who has Pulsar. It's in his barn. He lives in Glen Mills. Long story short, my son played hockey forever with his son, and he used to tell me about it all the time.
Really?
And then you guys just brought this up, so
dude,
I could probably get a hold of him tonight.
That would be awesome. Tonight would be fantastic.
Yeah, could you do us a favor, Mike? Is there any way to get a hold of him, like, during the day? Because we want to make sure it's still there. When was the last time you got any indication that Pulsar was at this guy's house?
About 5 years ago, but it's been sitting in his barn way longer than that.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We have faith in you. We have faith in Glen Mills.
Let me get a hold of him, and we'll get back to you on that.
Right.
I mean, you guys have my number now, so
right.
I'll get a hold of him. Like I said, he told me the stories about he took it, or the owner gave it to him to hold. And it's been sitting there ever since Pulsation's closed.
Well, Mike, if you come through on this, you could have your own series on ABC. That's what we're saying.
We're not promising anything.
We're not promising, but it's very possible.
You never know.
We'll be like Mills tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank
you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks,
all right.
Mike.
I got another Mike on the line who says his friend Joe has Pulsar.
Okay. Right.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, but a question. Does your friend Joe have Pulsar in a barn?
No, it was in our shop. He took it out, and he's getting his rehab and basically, upgrading the computer systems and everything.
How long ago was this?
About 2 years he took it out.
All right, that's more recent. Okay. All right, is this shop in Glen Mills by any chance?
I'm sorry, what's that?
No, we're trying to locate, because the last gentleman, the other Mike, he says it's in a barn in Glen Mills, and he was familiar with it being there about 5 years ago. You're saying that your friend has it. And it's 2 years ago. And what town is it in, do you think, right now?
I gave your contact the name and number of the person. You can dial him directly, and he'll tell you everything.
All right. That sounds good.
Perfect.
All right. You may very well end up with your own series on ABC. So stay tuned.
They have the name and number. Call them directly, and you can talk to them this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike, do you want to go to Bates Motel tomorrow night, Mike?
Actually, I've been there, so great. I live right around the corner from it.
Right. Well, if you want to go, we can put you on our list for tomorrow night. It's free, so just as a thank you.
All right, that'd be great.
All right, there you go. Hang on a second. Set up Mike. Set the other mic up.
Mike! So forget the ABC series. We're sending you to the Bates Motel.
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike.
All right, we'll see if this ends up happening.
How about that?
We're working on it, because the Adam Goldberg of the Goldbergs wants to put Pulsar in an episode, and we're going to work on getting that robot for him.
Hey, we're working on the show.
If we can, and pretty soon.
Yeah.
Our soon special, our soon show, on our series on ABC. We'll see about that. I saw this story. This is pretty cool. Hasbro, the toy company,
yes,
who also makes board games, announced this week that they're soon going to be releasing a line of 5 parody board games of their inspired by their classic games. So these are parody games in time for the holidays of Clue, Life, Mystery Date, Sorry, and Operation.
Okay.
And they're going to make them more adult geared.
Now, they're playable games, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're basically played the same way the original games are played, with a little bit of attitude.
Yes, and they have some different rules and things like
that. All right.
So each new game comes with a relatable title, as well as new gameplay and objectives, like Clue, but it's called Clue, What Happened Last Night Lost in Vegas.
I like it.
And it's very much like The Hangover.
Yes.
6 friends wake up to find one of their own missing from their hotel room after a night of too much partying.
He's on the roof.
And then exactly. And then you go from there. I wonder if the roof might be
one of the locations.
One of the locations in the game. So another player in the new lineup is The Game of Life. Quarter Life Crisis.
Yes. That's good.
Were you a fan of the board game? You know my take on most board games, but I do have a little bit of nostalgia. Yes, Kathy knows all too well. Were you a fan of the game Life?
Yeah. I mean, after you played it a few times, though, you pretty much did it. Your options start to run out. But we actually bought an updated version of Life not that long ago. My daughter wanted to get it, so we played it several times, and they have new things which make it a little more fun and interactive for kids to play, where, like, you become, believe it or not, one of the professions is a dancer.
Really?
Oh, that's right, yeah. And
that's new.
You have to get up and actually dance and stuff. There are things that they make you do impressions and stuff like that for fun to gain.
Just like you do in life.
To gain stuff. But it's a fun game. I like it. So Quarter Life Crisis, instead of drawing the doctor card and making $100,000 right out of college, sees participants face the reality of crippling debt while navigating among life's familiar everyday challenges like a botched tattoo job, dropping your phone in the toilet, and calling in sick to work to get in 8 extra hours of your favorite TV show.
This might be very popular.
I think this will be great.
I think this will be a big home run for them. Even if you don't even ever play the game, but just give it as a gift and people look at the... They may just display the box as a joke.
Yeah. Steve, one of your favorites... Mystery date.
Mystery date.
Yes.
Are you ready for your mystery date? Don't be late. Open the door for your mystery date.
This was a game I had never heard of until we brought it up on the show. And Steve sang that song. I never played this one as a kid.
I never played it, but I remember people having it as a kid. It had a little door.
Debbie Foley, 2 houses over, had the game. I was fascinated with it. Because you'd open it, you either get like a cool guy in a tuxedo with a bouquet of flowers, or you get the beach bum dud.
Yeah.
Or is that one of the choices?
Yeah. And was there a nerd of some sort?
There was a terrorist. There was a guy with the dynamite strapped to his chest.
Wow!
No, both guys were actually pretty good. The beach bum was what you didn't want, though. The slovenly guy. Oh, I don't know. My hair is over my ears.
So, Mystery Date is now going to be called Mystery Date Catfished.
That's good.
It has been crafted for the 2018 dater, which means wading through the questionable world of online dating and trying not to get catfished.
Does it come with a phone component?
That's a good question. I don't have enough details on this as of yet.
That's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
I did, I always liked the games where you could actually just play with the board itself, like anything that had a Pop-O-Matic or Don't Break the Ice or Hungry Hippos.
Yeah, or Mousetrap.
Did anybody ever
play the actual game? No. You just put together the mousetrap and trigger the thing.
What was that one game called? Trouble?
Trouble had a Pop-O-Matic. And Headache, I think, had a Pop-O-Matic as well.
Wow, Headache. I don't remember that.
Hey, Preston, you know what I just bought was...
Flatulence?
No, I don't buy that. I create it. I bought a tin of Domino's because I was at a friend's house a couple of weeks ago. And we went over there to play cards or Domino's or whatever. We ended up playing Domino's. And I... loved it.
There are Domino's leagues and people who just adore that game.
You guys play Mexican Train,
right? We play Mexican Train.
That's a fun game.
What is Mexican Train?
It's like an add-on game. I haven't played it in a long time,
mm-hmm.
but there's this circle in the middle and these tendrils, these tracks that come out,
and you play off of those numbers. And I've forgotten. It's been so long since I played. All I know is when you start playing, you're in.
You're in.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're supposed to, I guess. Well, I don't want to explain it. But
don't give away the ending.
I had never played. I never really played dominoes before. And both my wife and I, as we were driving away from the house that night, I was like,
I missed the dominoes.
We both, like, I was like, I had so much fun. Like,
that's cool.
The only reason we
left. You're playing with other couples?
Yeah. And the only reason we left is it was late. It was almost midnight.
You ever played backgammon or any of that? Those are,
you know what I did?
That's a classic couples game.
I play.
Or Mahjong.
I was taught backgammon at this little cigar shop. I went there with my brother, and they have a whole bunch of games like that in there. And my parents used to sit and play backgammon all the time. Like, we would get done dinner, and we would go and watch TV or whatever, and they would just sit in the at the kitchen table smoking cigarettes, playing backgammon.
Yeah, yep. All right, so here's another one that Hasbro's coming out with, Botched Operation. I love that.
That's another game that I had. I really didn't play the game.
You just tried to
take the parts out.
Or you just sat there and went,
look, I killed him. I killed the patient. Look, I killed the patient.
I moved recently, and we had Operation as we were moving, and when you press the lid down on Operation, you can also press down the guy that's getting operated on. So the entire time we're moving, I just heard the buzz in the back of the car. And I'm trying to figure out what the hell it is. It was a stupid Operation.
Seriously.
Game. Yeah. Oh, do they have a version of Operation where you actually get shocked?
Not shocked, just a little buzz. But
that's, that just should be.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
The family of the killed patient comes in, though. That's the.
They did change it Operation as well. Like, they changed life. Like, it's not as. It's actually easier now than it used to be. The
Operation?
Yeah. The way to get the little bones out of the guy is not as difficult as it once was. That rubber band, that was next to impossible.
In some South American countries, this is actually how you would take your medical license.
Right.
We're looking at Operation, and I remember a few of these. You know, they had the butterflies in your stomach, the bread basket, the wishbone, the broken heart, and I remember the rubber band. I don't know what they call the rubber band
notice the one thing that they never addressed in this game is that this patient has a raging case of nose cancer.
Yeah. You're right. They even look at that. Or maybe he was a hardcore alcoholic and those are the corpuscles and his nose that had busted. So anyhow, Botched Operation. It says you can practice the already stressful task of removing the dreaded Charlie horse while performing a side challenge based on how you're feeling after a gas leak. So it's got gas leak in the exam room.
In the exam room.
Okay, so I don't know what that means.
They have you huffing some...
right.
Yeah, they have you huff paint.
Maybe it comes with a little nitrous, a little nitrous canister.
Oh, man. We're doing amyl nitrate.
And you do a quick... You do a quick balloon before you try to take the Charlie horse out.
I'll get this. This is going to be hard. I'm taking out the bread basket.
What were the other ones? His bread basket and the Charlie horse and...
Wishbone, the broken heart, the wrench...
The gerbil.
Gerbil in your hiney.
Maybe.
Charlie.
All right, then there's one more game that Hasbro's coming out with, a new twist on it, and this is the best of the names, I think.
Yes.
It's Sorry, Not Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Not Sorry. God, I hated Sorry as a game.
Oh, I love that game.
Hated it.
Oh, man, we that's a great family game.
That was one of our go-tos as a kid.
So how do you play Sorry, Not Sorry?
It encourages its players to steal their friends' pawns to sabotage their chances at a win, with the added bonus of Not Sorry cards to bring in a Have You Ever type of twist to it.
Ooh.
Which could be kind of interesting.
Have you never?
It's I never is what it is.
Never have I ever.
Never have I ever. That's right. Yeah. Never have I ever.
Yeah.
That seems like a fun game.
Yeah, it's a good drinking game.
It can be.
Well, you know what was great is when somebody would say something that totally impugned themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. And then they drink and they're like, why did you say that?
Because you just wanted to profess to everyone.
Never have I ever made love to a dog.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he takes a
and
drink.
And then you drink.
Get them drinking.
A, you didn't have
Sorry.
To, you didn't have to ask that. B, you didn't have to drink.
Well, they want
to
play the game.
Mm-hmm. You know what we played a lot as children was have you guys ever played Pokino?
No.
Never even heard of it.
It's bingo.
Okay.
But with playing cards. So your bingo cards are, you know, it's instead of, you know, B-I-N-G-O, it's just a series of playing cards. So all you need are those things, and then a deck of cards is your bingo number.
Like a card.
like a card. Bingo card. Like a bingo card, and then a deck of cards.
Hasbro's parody game collection are available now, and they're exclusively at Target stores.
I think these...
Target.com.
Kathy.
She didn't even...
Wow.
Love that place.
They're $20 each. So that's cool. And they're currently on sale for $18, it says. So Clue, What Happened Last Night, Lost in Vegas, Sorry Not Sorry, and Game of Life, Quarter Life Crisis are on sale for $18.
When you get around with the, say, the Chapmans, you're playing games, what's the board game that comes out most frequently?
We don't really play board games.
It's mostly swapping.
But we did have, one time it was pretty damn funny. It was the Awkward Family Photos game that I bought.
Oh, you mentioned this.
And it was, I haven't seen Awkward Family Photos in a long time.
Yeah,
remember
they're
that?
Great. They're great.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you had to do a variety of things. Like you had to caption that particular picture, and everybody submitted them, and then you voted on the best one. But there was a gameplay rule around it, and I don't remember exactly
how it worked. Oh, this would be my game. I do this all the time anyway on Twitter.
You would be perfect.
I take historical photos and caption them.
You'd be perfect for that. It was a pretty fun game. But after a while, you run out of pictures.
That's the problem. Yeah. It's the problem with any of these games.
But you can search online Awkward Family Photos and use those in place. So.
We always love playing Scattergories. Was a fun one.
Still play that.
Yeah. And press Rummy Cube.
Love that game.
How do you play Rummy Cube?
Yeah.
It's not unsimilar to Rummy 500, but it's just played with tiles and they're laid out.
You just have to play with a rummy,
And they're laid out. So you have sets and runs, mm-hmm. So it's the same thing, and you can play off of other people's sets and runs. And eventually, when you're out, it's a lot like Rummy, and
also sounds like Mexican Train a little bit
similar. Uh-huh. There are definitely similarities. Say Rummy Cube's a blast, man. And my whole family plays that.
Do you ever play Indian Train? Where the entire, all you get on top of the game board and try to stand on top of it.
No.
I've not played that one.
It sounds dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mumbai edition.
Mumbai edition.
But if they do updated versions like this, couldn't we take like the classic Scrabble and update it like vulgarity Scrabble or something like that, or double entendre.
Only profanities.
Or
scatological. Yes, absolutely.
Something along those lines.
Are those words forbidden currently in Scrabble?
Yep.
They are?
Profanities are forbidden?
Yeah. So, it's like a bagel in my mouth. Words of Friends, they allow you to play S-H-I-T.
Okay.
And S-H-A-T, but you can't play...
Why do they let that one slide?
That's a good question.
That's interesting.
Because you tend to slide in it. Yes,
maybe.
That is kind of wild to randomly select that as a usable word when there are other...
Casey, do you think a snort dort would work?
I don't know.
Snort would, but dort wouldn't.
No.
Imagine.
I don't know. Yeah. Is dort a word?
Dorton is.
Enter.
Snort dort.
By the way, that Daily Rush video is up now. It's called Manthi Snort Dort, if you would like to see that. That was late in the show yesterday.
Yeah.
So you may be missing out on exactly what we're talking about. But...
people might be unaware, Preston, that routinely we go close to 11. Uh-huh. And we are so delirious by that time here's some fine listening.
That's ridiculous. I think this is a good timing for that. I bet you that sells like crazy, these updated board games.
It sounds more fun than the original versions, though I was a fan of just Operation.
What are you laughing at?
Snort dort. Snort dort. Snort dort.
Yeah, I started snort dorting yesterday after the show. I couldn't let it go.
Would people wear a shirt that just said snort dort?
Of course they would.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we working on that?
I think we should.
All right. Let's just wear it. Yeah. Snort dort and have snort people ask what it is. That's how the 4-H Club got started.
Wow.
It didn't even exist. They just printed up a shirt that said 4-H Club. What is that?
And look at that.
Yeah.
That's a national organization now. Wow. All right, we have just a little bit of time left, and I want to talk about something else, but nothing that's going to be that we could spend a lot of time talking on.
All right.
Rice. No. What about it?
Well, that's a short, yeah, right?
We can take about 60 seconds to talk about that, right? which fried rice is my new recipe on with Acme that I
have.
Really?
Oh my God, I have to. Yeah, I have.
So, and I do use minute rice.
Take rice and you fry it?
No.
Okay.
There's more. Really well done fried rice is a art unto itself.
There's more to it than that. You think it's just
you fry it with soy sauce and a wok.
All right, anyway.
We really did just take a minute to talk about rice.
We did. Now we're done with that.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about selfies real quick. Did you guys see this? A new study by medical researchers from New Delhi's All India Institute, and I brought this up because you talked about Indian trains, have identified hundreds of people who suffocated in bodies of water, were struck by vehicles, plummeted off of high surfaces, suffered lethal burn injuries, or otherwise met tragic demises while taking selfies.
So I was looking at a website that had a collection of signs that have gone up within, I guess, the past 5 years, and you know, plaques and things to warn people who are visiting historical sites or scenic sites about the dangers of taking a selfie because someone has gotten severely injured there. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Speaking of taking photos, last night I was doing some research for our trip to London about things to do when we're in London because we only have a few days there, and I came across, I didn't know this, I didn't even think of this, but there was a video on YouTube that was most Instagrammable locations
in
London.
Okay.
There you go.
And I didn't do any further research in that. I'll bet you there's tons of videos of most Instagrammable locations in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
In New York. Wherever you're going.
Oh, sure, sure.
The national parks. I mean, that's kind of what I like to do when going on vacation. And it's cool because you get ideas of really cool places to see. The problem is idiots taking selfies in places that they shouldn't be taking them because they can get hurt, or they go off trail and they take selfies in places that look like cool photos, but they end up ruining the nature that's around them.
Sure. Are you seeing the preponderance of selfie sticks that you used to see? I don't see them as much.
I saw them. Well, we were at the Statue of Liberty on Sunday, and I saw a whole bunch of selfie sticks there.
Really?
Yeah.
But here's what I think happens with that, with the injuries that happen with selfies, is not just the real quick, okay, boom, and then you take the picture and you're done. It's positioning yourself to get you just perfectly in that landscape or whatever you're taking a shot of, and you're so focused on looking at that screen that you don't realize you've just stepped off of a 50-foot, you know, precipice.
Well, one of those places is actually along the White Cliffs of Dover. Mm-hmm. And because the cliff side is sort of chalky and brittle, and people step right up to the edge.
Yep.
Would you ever walk backwards?
And I'm sure that this is called the Cliffs of Dover. I'm sure that there are loads of signs that say don't go near this.
Don't do this.
The same thing happens in Yellowstone as
Absolutely. Or along the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. So, by the way, the most common drowning incidents of taking selfies include washed away by waves on beach, capsizing of boats while rowing, clicking selfies on the shore while not knowing how to swim, or ignoring warnings. Similarly, for transport, it is majorly the accidents due to clicking in front of a running train.
Oh, my God.
Among all the reasons for death, drowning and fire have the highest death incident ratio.
I hate these idiots.
Of selfies.
I really get
you drown.
Yeah, I get worked up about it, and we all have our thing. But for whatever reason, the people doing this really piss me off because it's such a waste.
Well, the people that die, I don't hate.
Well, I don't
now, hate do, them. But do you, know you what take I mean? Selfie shots, though, Nick?
Not really. I mean, and if I do, I take one and then I go about the rest of my day. I'm not a selfie taker. And, I get why people take selfies. I totally understand it. But to me, the thing that's behind you is more interesting than the you.
I would rather have someone else take the photo.
There you go. If you can do that,
it's going to be a better picture, most likely.
I see the importance of having someone in a picture often for perspective. Or as my dad says... And my dad travels a lot to, because you're there. Otherwise, you just might as well get a coffee table book that has pictures of that place.
Agreed.
Yeah.
100%.
So that's part of the deal.
Also, it says here that most of the selfie-related deaths because of firearms occurred in the United States. I didn't think about that as well. So people taking a picture of themselves with a gun.
Trying to catch a bolt in their teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
We know that's only David Blaine.
Gun in one hand, camera in the other.
No, but people that are... They're being careless.
Yeah, stupid.
They're taking a picture.
You know where a lot of injuries... does it qualify as a selfie? No, it's not a selfie when they do that thing running alongside the car.
Oh.
What do they call that?
Where they get out of the
car? Yeah, the moving car.
Whatever. It'll be gone in 10 minutes, whatever it is.
That's the newest.
While the researchers identified 142 of the deaths as involving some kind of risky behavior, they also identified 69 incidents in which the person who died did not appear to have taken an unnecessary risk to get the shot.
Is it possible they just OD'd on narcissism?
Maybe that's it. For example, getting to a slippery edge of a cliff to click a selfie has been marked risky, while getting hit by a sea wave on the calm sea and drowning has been marked as non-risky. So they have these different categories that they fall under.
There is a picture. There is a popular site. It might be in France, Nick. It is a lighthouse. It's the subject of countless Prince Plus pictures, but the waves crash all around this.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen it.
It's amazing.
And people will go down there, and it's not good.
It's amazingly terrifying.
Yes.
Looking at
it.
But you're right. So they're saying there's hundreds of deaths, but you're talking about millions and millions of people, so it's not a
crisis.
It's not exactly.
And in a way, it's thinning the herd.
But it is certainly something to be aware of, especially if you're headed on vacation. We are, we're not going on vacation. We're going on a work trip. But in London, I'm sure we'll be doing a few selfies. Let us all just keep that in mind.
We'll do things that you do there, like eat fish and chips and say good day.
That's
Australia.
That's
the other place.
Yeah. Yes, so sorry about that. So anyhow. Keep that in mind. Listen, we do have to take a break. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day in just a moment, do a little TV action this morning. We have our birthday bucks coming up in about 10 minutes. Doug Benson's here. Michael Giacchino is giving us a call.
One of the most talented
people we've ever met. And our friends from Misconduct will be here with the Bud Light Philly Tour. Marissa's going to be there tomorrow night from 7 to 9. I'll give you all the details on that as well when we return. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Restorations. What remains, every corner of your name. Celebrating our area's best talent. But I don't want to hear that name again. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Restorations, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
It is 7:56, and guess what? That is the time that we normally go on Fox Good Day. And I think today is going to be like normal. And we're going to go on any moment now. But you'll want to stay because we have $1,000 giveaway birthday bucks. Here we go. Music means we're going on Fox. Just listen.
It's a good song.
We heard about this new plastic surgery. It's not really plastic surgery. Men want calves that bulge, so it looks like they're working out. So doctors are taking a syringe and sucking fat out of their butts and injecting it into their calves. Are you guys up for it?
Sure.
This is
dumb. I don't have any fat in my butt, so that wouldn't work. I have a flat butt.
I could give you some of mine.
Kathy's.
I could borrow Kathy's.
No. That's Kathy's moneymaker.
That is true. Yeah. The badunkadunk.
The badunkadunk. Wow. Now, so they've done this before, though. They've used the breast implant material.
Yes, silicone
they've
implants.
They've done fake pecs for guys.
I've never heard of this, though.
It's kind of stupid.
Of taking fat out of your body and then moving it over to your calves.
Especially from your butt.
Yeah.
But no one wants chicken legs, so I mean.
What about chickens?
Listen, I know a guy who will not play golf without wearing long pants. And I mean, we went out and played 98 degrees, humid, disgusting. And he wore these, and we were walking the course, and he came out wearing long pants. I'm like, you're out of your mind, man. But some people, you're right, Alex, have a thing about chicken legs.
Do leg exercises, then. You can affect some change without injecting butt fat into your legs.
Mm-hmm. But will they get that big, though? I don't know.
Let's ask Kathy and Marissa if she's around.
Marissa,
Is that a turnoff?
Chicken legs?
Do you like
butt legs?
Hey, nice legs to guys. Women have said that. Do you look at a man's legs?
I mean, I think I might notice if they had little chicken legs, but I look more at like the biceps and the arms.
Okay.
Marissa?
But in the summer, though, you notice. I mean, if they're like, especially if they're big, biceps and they're big up top, and then all of a sudden they have these really skinny legs. Yeah. And it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Marissa, guys,
You've seen Alex Holly.
Oh, yeah. We love her.
I always say some of her best features are her big, beautiful eyes, her nice lips, her giant head. And she has great calves.
Yeah, does she?
Does she?
Yeah. I'm actually very proud. It's like the only thing that's big on me. I do have calf muscles, yes.
You know what? Great legs are a great thing. Angela Bassett has some of the nicest legs I've ever
and
seen.
And some of the nicest arms. She's in great shape.
She's got great legs. And the woman she played, Tina Turner, had phenomenal legs.
Absolutely.
No question. Now we're showing them? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's kind of shadow here, but...
Well, radio... Okay.
We can't see
your legs.
We're mostly in, you know, here's sound medium.
Would you... okay, you just think it's dumb. We'll go back to the original.
It also leaves you with the issue that now you have to wipe your calves, and that's and I don't want
that. Think about that.
Yeah.
Why are you injecting fat? Like, don't you want to have muscle in your calves and not fat?
It is a completely cosmetic thing that doesn't really give you the benefit, right? But some people are not
jiggle. Then you don't want to jiggling.
Yeah,
could you therein do the same thing for breasts? Could women take fat tissue and
put them in their calves?
No. In their breasts.
Oh yeah. Could you remove the fat from your calves and put them up in your breasts?
That's what we're going to do. Alex is going to give me some of her calf fat for my butt.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
Fair enough. Since we're moving stuff around
from no acetol.
Nah, there we go. No acetol.
Yeah. It's not contagious though, is it? Cuz Lord knows I don't need
spread
that.
To Preston. Yeah. All right, guys, we'll see you.
Bye. See you later, guys. All right, I haven't heard of the injection before. The calf implants, I've definitely heard of.
They do calf implants. They do pec implants, which are huge for guys. It's dumb.
I knew a guy who had a chin implant.
Michael Jackson had one.
Yes.
Michael Jackson had a cleft chin put in.
Yeah, he had defined chin, and he... had it constructed.
There was one that I saw a procedure that they would do to get rid of the change purse underneath the neck, and it was almost like a it was like this thing they put under the skin that they lasso up around your ears that pulls it up tight.
Don't people see that?
No, it's under your skin.
Oh, it's under the skin.
Yeah, but I didn't have to worry about that because I just grew a beard in, and now that hides that. So
wait, so are you you're talking about like the strings that go?
It's inside
your face.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. There's somebody out in Bucks County, I think like Yardley area, that does that. She does that procedure. Like it's instead of a facelift.
Under face chin stringing?
And it's like those strings that go in. It's less invasive. Mm-hmm. And it it's almost like a facelift. And it will pull your face up and back.
How is it less invasive?
Well, because they're not doing a huge incision.
Yeah, you've seen the like what they do for facelifts.
Yeah. I mean,
they basically... peel your face off.
Listen, I perform tracheotomies, and that's fairly invasive.
Listen, Casey, I would like to do the birthday bucks first, if you don't mind. So let's do that now before we get into traffic, because we did skip that because we were going on Fox, and we have your chance to win some cash right about now.
MMR's birthday bucks. Birthday bucks.
Alrighty, so $1,000 cash, MMR's birthday bucks part two contest. And this hour's keyword, which you will not text. Don't do it. It's a waste of time, okay? I'm going to tell you what you need to do with it. This hour's keyword is name, N-A-M-E. You have until 8:15 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or WMMR.com. That's how you win the money, not texting it. We changed things, all right? So this hour's keyword is name, N-A-M-E. You have until 8:15 to enter it through the mobile app or WMMR.com. And one winner selected at random wins $1,000 in our company-wide contest. So good luck to you. Let's go ahead and get that look at traffic before we get to the B-File. Kathy, what do you have for us this morning?
We now have a Tacony-Palmyra Bridge opening. Traffic stopped in both directions, and it is backing up on both sides of the bridge. 95 southbound is slow from Academy through to Cottman, the Betsy Ross Bridge to Girard. Pennsylvania Turnpike westbound jams Bend-Salem to Fort Washington. Route 1 southbound out in Bucks County jams Highland Ave to Business 1. Schuylkill Expressway eastbound backing up 202 to the Vine Expressway. And then at Passyunk, we've got that ramp that is blocked with construction until 3 o'clock. Westbound jams Passyunk to the Vine, the Boulevard out to the Blue Route, and then King of Prussia to 202. On 202 northbound, we're slow at Boot Road. In New Jersey, 42 freeway northbound slows Blackwood Clementon Road to 295. 55 northbound slows Deptford to 42. Route 38 eastbound at Longwood Ave and Cherry Hill, we've got an accident that's blocking the left lane. This traffic report brought to you by Amazon. Amazon is delivering millions of smiles this season. Be a part of making it happen. Now hiring in Belmar and Newcastle. Apply at Amazon.com/PhillyJobs. Amazon, an equal opportunity employer. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Tomorrow night, Marissa and the MM Army are going to be at Misconduct Tavern in Center City, Philadelphia. They're at 18 and 1 JFK Boulevard. And Marissa will be able to walk there. Good for her.
Yeah.
And you can win Eagles Cowboys tickets and autographed Eagles gear, courtesy of Bud Light. So don't forget about that. That is tomorrow from 7 to 9 p.m. I want to go ahead and give away some more passes for our Cream of the Scream stop tomorrow at Bates Motel. And, yes, we've been going to Bates for years, and there's a reason. It's amazing. 6 to 8 p.m. is when that's taking place. Most heart-pounding haunted hayride in the country, terrorizing revenge of the Scarecrow's Trail, the Bates Motel Haunted House, and you can check out their mobile escape rooms. Tickets at BatesMotel.com. Let's take 7 callers, and we'll give you tickets to that event. We're taking 100 people. 215-263-WMMR. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by CF Logistics, LLC. They're expanding their fleet and looking for professional drivers to join their family-owned company. Apply today at CFLogisticsLLC.com. That's CFLogisticsLLC.com. A 22-pound rock that has been propping open a door in Michigan for decades turns out to be a meteorite valued at $100,000.
No. Son of a bitch!
According to Central Michigan University, Mona Sirbescu, a CMU geology professor, gets asked all the time by people to examine the rocks they bring her, but none have ever turned out to be an official space rock.
That's why everyone in the office has been dying of radiation poisoning.
But it all changed when she was asked to examine an oddly shaped large rock that a Michigan man who didn't want to be named had in his possession for the last 30 years. She said, "I could tell right away it was something special."
That's amazing.
After testing, she determined that it was a meteorite made of 88.5% iron and 11.5% nickel. And this isn't just any space rock. Weighing 22 pounds, it is the 6th largest recorded find in Michigan and potentially worth around $100,000. She said, "It is the most valuable specimen I've ever held in my life, monetarily and scientifically."
And sexually.
For double verification, a slice of it was sent to the Smithsonian Institution, which validated that it was, in fact, a meteorite, according to the press release. The rock arrived on Earth sometime in the 1930s, according to its owner, who obtained it in 1988 when he bought a farm.
Is what you're telling me, my rubber doorstop at home could be worth $100,000?
Yeah, go ask an expert about that.
Okay.
While touring the property, the man spotted the rock propping open a door and asked the farmer what it was. The farmer told him that it was a meteorite, that it was part of the property, and that he could have it.
Wow.
The farmer said that it had come down on the property in the 1930s, and it made a heck of a noise when it hit, he said.
This guy never saw the blob.
In the morning, the farmer and his father found the crater. They dug out the still-warm meteorite.
Look in there!
The new owner lived on the farm a few years, and when he moved, he took the mystery rock with him. For the past 30 years, he's used it as a doorstop, and he sent it off to school with his children for show and tell.
So he never had any indication? I mean,
no, he knew, he'd heard it was a meteorite, so yeah. But he was inspired by stories of residents finding and selling pieces of meteorites, wow. And he said, "I wonder how much mine is worth." And so now the space rock, which is dubbed the Edmore Meteorite, is waiting to find a permanent home. They said what happens typically with these at this point is that meteorites, wow, can either be sold and shown in a museum or sold to collectors and seekers looking to make a profit.
Hey, Gladys, we can buy a toilet now.
The Smithsonian and a mineral museum in Maine are considering purchasing the meteorite for display. So the guy has potential buyers.
That is sensational.
Isn't that great? Not so great. A zookeeper has died of a white tiger after it mauled him at a zoological park in the city of Kagoshima. Akira Fushuro was found collapsed and bleeding from the neck in a cage by colleagues after the park had closed for the day. He was confirmed dead after being taken to the hospital. A veterinarian at the zoo used a tranquilizer gun to sedate the 5-year-old male tiger Raikou, which was found in the same area as Ferruccio.
Did the guy get a little too comfortable doing his chores or whatever?
I don't know. The
they're still wild animals.
The zoo was scheduled to remove the tiger from display to his sleeping chamber at the time. Its manual forbids a keeper from entering the display cage before a tiger has been moved into its sleeping chamber. So maybe the guy was where he wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
Police are investigating how the park looks after the 4 white tigers it keeps, while labor authorities interviewed some zoo workers to see if the zoo had possibly violated a law on safety at work.
Same thing happened in Jurassic World, Preston.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Hey, going viral online isn't always a good thing. A bus driver in India has been suspended after a video surfaced of him letting a monkey sit on his lap and drive the vehicle.
And there's a problem with that?
The video shows a man holding onto the wheel of the bus with one hand while the langur monkey perches on the wheel and steers on a road.
How am I doing?
In Bangalore.
I'm just a monkey, so I'm not quite adroit.
Officials say that the monkey was the pet of one of the bus passengers, but the driver has been suspended as officials investigate
that. I like it when the bus driver lets the passengers' pets drive the vehicle.
You know, why not?
Anybody have a cat?
The world's scariest haunted house experience puts its guests through a psychological nightmare, shaving their heads and even allegedly waterboarding them. McCamey Manor is run by Russ McCamey in San Diego, California, where a few participants every day are bound, slapped, and even compelled to eat their own vomit.
Yes.
There are around 24,000 people on the waiting list for the experience, which can last up to 8 hours. Guests are made to sign a waiver before they take part, and McCamey insists on doing background checks to ensure those taking part do not have any serious medical conditions.
And you know what, Preston? They have really awesome kettle corn.
Despite this, a guest suffered a heart attack during the experience in 2008.
Where is this?
It's in San Diego.
Kathy, the whole purpose of this thing is to, you're basically paying to literally be terrified beyond all reason.
No thanks.
Special effects, animatronics, actors, and live animals such as tarantulas, spiders, and rats are used to send guests away shivering and crying. McCamey films each volunteer to make a, quote, mini movie of each ordeal, which are then posted on his YouTube channel, which has nearly 39 million views.
Preston, it's very similar to that big wedding dress sale they do every year.
Oh, that's... though he says he's invested more than $500,000 into the event... McCamey doesn't ask his guests for any money, just a dog food donation for Operation Greyhound because he's an animal lover.
Well, there you go.
He said it's really like watching somebody live their own horror movie right there, 6 inches in front of their face.
I saw a documentary on this guy in this setup. It's just unbelievable.
While no one has ever lasted the full 8 hours, McCamey says that in 2014, the record holder, known as Sarah P., lasted 6 hours inside the house before giving up. Some of its most extreme moments occur on a morgue table, including the use of a live tarantula. McCamey said, you want to see true fear? You put live spiders crawling on somebody's face, and the tears are just flowing down their eyes in silence. It's like you're watching a silent movie, he said. The Fright Fan says that he does it for, quote, the love of the haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And he simply wanted to put on the biggest, craziest show anyone's ever seen.
And he cares about greyhounds.
In 2016, Amy Milligan from San Diego claimed that she had been waterboarded at the haunted house, an allegation that McCamey strongly denied. She told the San Diego Union-Tribune that her head was repeatedly pushed underwater while her hands were tied. Milligan claimed that actors pushed her under the water again and again despite her begging for the experience to stop. She said, you give them so much trust and they just break it by waterboarding you and slapping you.
Good Lord.
You go to the sadistic, legendary, over-the-top haunted house and you do not expect to be treated this way.
Well, you know what? I mean, I would assume it's like a... a bondage thing. You've got to have some kind of a safe word,
yes.
Right?
So mistake would be mine.
Yeah, right?
And well, there... Sorry.
That's what I have in the bizarre file.
There's one around here. I forget where it was, but it might have been Pennhurst, and we were waiting in line, and you know, some of them are like, the actors aren't going to touch you, you know, you.
Yeah.
And there they were like, if you don't want to be touched, then don't come in. Like,
there you go.
Like they're gonna. It's part of the scare tactic. Yeah.
Yeah. Some places are you know should be set up for that. I think for the more
you
intense.
Can have most will offer options of mm-hmm. either or.
Yeah. At Adorney, you can wear. There's a little necklace that lights up.
Yes.
That you can wear if for kids or somebody who doesn't like to be startled like that, and they'll leave you alone.
Yeah. You know, I did some of my fall activities over the weekend, which by the way, I ran into I ran into a bunch of people who took my suggestion and were at the same places that I was at this weekend. Yeah. But we were at Shady Brook Farm out in Bucks County, and same thing. Jace was able to hold a glow stick walking through one of the haunted attractions. And, obviously they're still in there. It's still dark, but they won't jump out and startle
you. They put a smaller tarantula on his face, right?
No, but it was really cool. We were walking through this one part, though, and there's like a guy behind a window, you know, and then he slams the window open and screams. He opened it and screamed, and we had the glow stick, and I was like, you didn't get the glow stick memo, did you? He was like, no, sorry.
Nice. All right, well, also on that list of fall activities.
Fall activities.
Bates.
Is Bates Motel, and we'll do more giveaways for that coming up in a little while, because that event is tomorrow night, the cream of the scream. But you know what? I guess, Kathy, on your fall activities list might be seeing a scary movie, too.
Ooh. Yeah.
Or a fun, scary
tonight.
Movie. It's tonight, yes, one of Kathy's activities.
Fall activities.
Will be with Human Centipede, right?
No, four-pack of passes for family four-pack of passes for Goosebumps 2.
Goosebumps!
And it is at the UA King of Prussia. You'll need to be there by 6 o'clock, so a little earlier than most of our screenings. And I have four of those left, so we'll take those callers now. Actually, I have 515-263-WMMR, and we will put you on that list for tonight. So go ahead and give us a call. We just got a tweet.
Yes.
And it says, let me see if it's still up here. No, it's not. It says,
he's hey. Here. It's okay.
Oh, he's here?
He's here.
Oh, it was Doug Benson. He was stuck in traffic. So, but he's here. That's
yes.
That's a wonderful thing, because we're set to go with him. Not only are we going to have Doug in, and obviously Doug loves movies. He's going to be doing that at Helium Comedy Club. But we also have the members of a movie that Doug apparently likes that are going to be here. The cast of Mid-90s. It's Jonah Hill's directorial and writing debut.
Yes, it is.
And Doug saw it and liked it, so we're going to have Doug hang around and talk to those guys.
I love it.
Which is pretty cool. And let's stick on the movie thing. Michael Giacchino will be joining us. He's one of our all-time favorite guests, and he's the guy when it comes to composers for films.
I so envy you guys going out and visiting him. Hopefully there'll be a return trip at some time.
Definitely.
That I can do likewise.
So we'll talk to him, and we got a lot more coming up. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Real quick, want to plug this event. It's coming up. My wife and I and the members of the board of A Mother's Wish are looking for a cure for Crohn's disease. My daughter has Crohn's disease, and we have this really big event that's coming up on the 20th at the Doubletree in King of Prussia, and it's called A Mother's Wish Gala Casino Night. It's 5 hours, open bar and dinner, and all the casino games you can handle. You play, you win the chips, you turn those in for tickets. You can win a gazillion different prizes at baskets that we give away.
So it's not this Saturday, but the following Saturday.
Correct.
It's all
on
right.
the 20th, and we have the details at WMMR.com. It's a lot of fun. If you've always wanted to play casino games, blackjack, roulette, craps, all that stuff, but have been too intimidated to do it in real life, you do it here. The rules are the same.
It's the perfect scenario.
And you can learn how to play and win some prizes and have a good time. And hopefully we can find a cure for Crohn's disease, which would be cool. So,
And just to bolster your case, everyone I know who's attended this event over the... It's been, what, 2 or 3 years now?
Yeah, it's been
a few years. Has raved about it.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So PrestonandSteve.com, we have a link to it right there. And I'm going to be hosting the event. Would love to have you there. All right, our next guest is here. He's hosting another event. It's
we're fighting disease.
That's right.
Yeah.
The disease of not enough entertainment.
Yeah.
Doug Loves Movies podcast, Helium Tonight, 7:30. Doug Benson.
Yay!
He is here. Yay. How you doing, man?
Taylor Swift dropped an S-bomb on TV last night, and I couldn't be
life
happier
is great.
About it.
Yeah. You're a huge Taylor Swift fan.
It's a great day. I am, but I also... I'm just a fan of how stupid it is that the S word is still,
I know,
is still so bad.
Well, you're playing in the territory where it is bad, but it's funny for us having these bizarre restrictions forces probably far more horrific things to be said in veiled speech.
There's so many more disgusting words for what that means.
I know, but we and it's weird, but it, and you know
and you
it,
could say those.
And the truth of the matter is, we've said it time and time again. This list that is used by the FCC did not exist before George Carlin. George Carlin created the list that they said, okay, we'll go with that. Yeah. And here we are, paying dues so many years after.
But it's all they're all slipping away.
They are
know?
The amount of the open playground now that happens on what is just basic cable. At night, or even on, like, for example, over the weekend, you'll end up watching a lot of movies on A&E or whatever, or, you know, the ones that leave them fairly unedited. I was hearing F-bombs on a Saturday afternoon.
In produced programs on AMC, they're saying F-bombs occasionally.
Right.
Now, you know, and Walking Dead just allowed them to ratchet up the violence so much.
It's
because
crazy.
It started off as like, oh, it's not violence. They're just killing dead people. But now the live people are getting killed regularly and very violently.
Well, so they see the forest for the trees and realize they've got to compete with...
Yeah.
Netflix, they got to compete with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. And Walking Dead, I think, is still the number one broadcast TV show.
Negan said something to Rick last season.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That just, I mean, still blows me away that he said it.
It was
and
D.
I slid my D down your whatever, and you just thanked me for it. And I was like, what?
And then,
that I'm offended by it, but like, I was just blown away. And you're talking about the S-bomb that Taylor Swift said last night. Well, on ESPN, there were F-bombs galore last night. There was like some sort of programming about college athletes. And I mean, this is not even 8 o'clock. This is probably in the 7 o'clock hour, F-bombs galore ESPN show.
You'll probably agree. I mean, listen, if it's used for good purpose. And sometimes people just use it as a, you know, you're not, like the classic we talked about. I don't know if you watched the CNN special about the comedians. It was like 6 or 7 episodes, and they talked about the blue comics and so on and so forth.
Yeah, they didn't call me to be on it, so I didn't watch it.
You didn't want to be a part of it. But I mean, you're not what would be considered a blue comic, though you do, you know.
The material. I like to swear. Yeah. I mean, I generally don't write jokes that have swear words in them, but, you know, you can punch stuff up with it all the time.
Doesn't hurt.
You know, in the moment. And, and it's funny because, you know, in podcasting, you could swear all you want.
Yeah.
And so we do a little bit. You know what I mean? But we don't go nuts with it.
You don't go crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a crutch.
Yeah, it's really, it's just nice to be able to not worry about what you're going to say.
I wanted to ask you because, obviously, you know, we've talked to you over the years. We didn't get to do the Hershey thing this year because that didn't happen, but...
As Taylor Swift mentioned the Hershey thing last
did
night.
Did she? Oh, my God. It even affected her. with all the stuff, you're a cinephile, you're an expert, you know, there's so many things movie-based that revolve around all that you do. Has, like, the American Film Institute ever contacted you or offered you, you know, a membership or do you know what I'm saying? I mean, have you ever gotten the cred I think you deserve at this point?
I think a little bit here and there. People will catch on, and like you know, I get invited to film festivals, and I do Douglas movies.
Like legit,
there I mean, sometimes.
They, do they still see you as sort of like the that guy?
I think it's a little of both.
Yeah,
it
depends
on who you're talking to.
Well,
because it's funny to be like a guy who's like, hey, he really loves movies, but also he's high all the time. You know, like that extra layer you know, discredit.
Okay.
That guy, he's stoned. Don't listen to his opinions. But, you know, guess what? A bad movie's still a bad movie when I'm high.
Right. It doesn't protect you.
It makes it easier to sit through.
Yeah. But you do get access to movies earlier than a lot of people. So we're going to have this cast of mid-90s mm-hmm. and that's not in theaters for 2 weeks, and you've already seen it. So how is that?
I was fortunate enough to be at every year in Austin, Texas in September. They have a festival called Fantastic Fest. It's run
by huge.
The Alamo Drafthouse, and it's a genre film festival. So if something's violent or has fantasy elements in it, horror, all those kind of movies, they'd love to, you know, premiere them at that festival. So I got to see mid-90s, and it's fantastic. It's really good. And then Bad Times at El Royale, you've got the gentleman who composed the music for that. It's going to be on the phone later.
Michael Giacchino.
I hear.
It's from the director and writer, the writer of Cloverfield. Now, let me ask you.
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods. So let me ask you, does it have, it has a fantastical, we hear it's like, in that case, it's nine sort of people that end up at this hotel that, and there's an otherworldly element or a weird sort of Twilight Zone-ish element to it, or is that in fact the case?
The whole movie's just twist-laden. Like, throughout the entire movie, you're like, oh, what's going to happen next? And it's really, you know, fun to see where it's, you know, where it's going.
Cool. When you go to
like, the less you know about it, the better. It's one of those.
All right.
I say about most movies these days.
Are you a trailer-watching guy, or do you
no,
skip
that's
them?
What I, that's what I was sort of referring to there is just that trailers are the worst. They just, if you pay attention to them, if they're just background noise, then fine. But when you're like in a movie theater watching a trailer and there's, you know, nothing else you can do, like, I'll close my eyes.
Really?
Yeah, because they just show too much imagery that it ends up being a spoiler for me, you know, because I'll be watching a movie and I go, oh, well, that guy can't die here because they still haven't seen that scene from the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's wearing that outfit or doing this thing, you know?
No, you're right. In fact, for Infinity War, there in the trailer, there's one of the initial trailers, there's a tip-off about the outcome of the second film that they had to recorrect.
Yeah.
The trailers used to be, when they had a voiceover guy and so on and so forth, they would be an art unto themselves. So they would give you sort of a feeling of the movie without giving away.
Yeah, like The Shining with the blood coming out of the elevator. That was the trailer.
Right.
That was it. Like, you know, check in.
Right.
On this date.
Right.
And, they've really gotten at it. Now it's just like, I mean, they've really, if you watch really old trailers, they were very bad at this, too. They would just go through and just hit all the beats of what's going to happen.
Right.
Come see this movie. Because people are just, they want to know what they're going to get.
Right.
You know, we're the weirdos that don't want spoilers.
Most
people are like, I want to know what the story's going to be before I go.
I'm a sucker for both. If you know, if I'm really excited about something, I will sit and watch a trailer 50 times. If I'm super excited about something. Though there was a 5-minute trailer that was released for Aquaman. I'm like, do I want to watch this?
Is it really pronounced Aquaman?
Yeah. Aquaman. Yeah.
Aquaman. Yeah. I like watching the first trailer one time. That's enough. Okay, the movie's coming out now. I'm excited.
Right, especially when I avoid them. 6 months away.
Yeah.
You know, they do them so far in advance now, so you can forget what you saw, but...
What about the teaser trailer for the trailer?
Yeah. Teasers where nothing happens. I don't like those. Something needs to happen.
But I had been waiting for a trailer for a long time after Infinity Wars Part 1 ended and then Ant-Man ended. I couldn't wait to get my first looks at Captain Marvel. You know, it's as simple as that. But I'm with you, Press. At a certain point, it's like, okay, I don't need to see any more because I just want to watch the movie. But, you know, when I go to the movies, because now it's so great, like with Fandango, I buy my tickets online. I don't have to worry about where I'm sitting. I've already got my reserved seats. So, like, for instance, I took my kids to see Venom on Sunday night. Movie started at 8:15. I didn't get there until 8:25.
Oh, I'd be sweating bullets.
Well, I'm not.
I want to be in my seat. I want to be in my seat a day before.
Because I get a little antsy. So
I get my
food, I sit down, and then boom, the movie starts, and I'm good to go.
I attach the catheter, and I get there 6 hours. I want to see that whole deal. Are you just walk right in when the movie's starting, or do you like the whole preamble?
It depends on if you get to pick your seat.
Yeah.
When you buy your ticket, those places are great.
What's a Doug Benson perfect seat in a movie theater?
It's so stupid.
I'm sure it's not.
If the screen is more than 6 feet away from the front row, I want to be in front row center.
Really? Mm-hmm. Front row center?
But it's got to have enough. You know, sometimes it's really close, and then you're just like looking up the whole time. But
wow.
If there's some distance, like the Arclight in Los Angeles is a nice theater, a bunch of black box theaters that... the screen is pretty far away from the front row, and nobody wants to sit there when they get to pick in advance.
It's true.
So I'm also in a row that, you know, might not have any people in it.
So, in a perfect scenario, it would be the first level up. If you're in an IMAX theater with a railing, you got to be in the first level up past the railing.
I can't have the railing
blocking
in
your screen.
The shot.
I know. How does that massive design flaw exist?
I don't know.
With the freaking railing.
Because, you know, those railings are important. Someone might fall down.
I know.
In the dark.
In the dark anyway. But I never understood that. But then also, what I used to love is a theater I would go to the front row in the balcony. Mm-hmm. They don't have balconies anymore. But
right,
that
but
was
front
glorious.
Row of the balcony was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a sweet spot.
I usually end up now, if I think it's going to be, there are going to be a lot of people, it's back row all the way to the right. No one can sit behind me or to the right of me.
Yeah, you're like a mobster.
Yeah, and exactly.
Last time I was in L.A., I went to the Chinese theater. I don't know what company owns it now.
It's called like...
some of the other Chinese theater. That's a
TLC
stunning movie
theater,
man.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
It was always a beautiful movie theater, and then they IMAXed it and put those stadium seating and rails in. Yeah, because it used to be flatter, regular seating, you know.
Okay.
But other than that, they left everything the same, and I'm so glad they did, because I just hate that these big movie houses are just, you know...
Oh, it used to be a theater experience. We a theater we used to go to all the time as a kid had the comedy and tragedy masks up on the a curtain would pull back, the lush curtain and the whole thing. And it was, you know, it was an experience.
Yeah, now that they got the IMAX screen in there, when they pull the curtain back, it takes 10 minutes.
Yeah, this freaking thing is huge. So what did you see at the convention in that genre film festival that what else excited you?
Well, I have to say it's a genre film festival, but it's also just movies that are, you know, just kind of special in general.
Buzzworthy.
Or have some sort of kind of an edge to them.
Yeah.
And the movie we're going to be talking about more later, mid-90s, was my favorite movie at that festival.
Wow.
But it also kind of stood out because it didn't have fantasy elements. It was just straightforward. And I'd seen so many, you know, every other movie I saw there, somebody got decapitated. And spoiler, it doesn't happen in mid-90s. just some skateboard wipeouts.
No decapitation.
No decapitation.
We're going to ask these kids about it that are coming in, because most of them are like super pro-level skateboarders. But there, to remain true to the time, there are skateboard tricks that that weren't, yeah, I assume,
right, been done
they,
yet.
They, yeah. Were, they were retro skateboarding, mm-hmm. I assume, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Were you a skateboard dude? You grew up in San Diego, right?
Yeah, I did. And, I messed around with, you know, that stuff, but never got great at it. You know, never stuck to one particular thing long enough to do it. You know, I have no ability. Skateboard tricks.
I have no ability with stuff like that. I tried inline skating once. I looked like Herman Munster. It was horrible. Yeah, just terrible.
You're going down the road going, oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh. And like stomping. Yeah. like not rolling, just stomping.
Looking for grandpa. Yeah, it was horrible.
Hey, Doug, you're just doing the one show tonight, Doug Loves Movies. Is it sold out, or are there some tickets left?
There should be some tickets left. Just, you know, popping in and out this time. You know, normally I like to come for a few days and do a few shows, but
it's an awesome experience, by the way.
It's fun.
It's such a good show. It's Jeopardy meets movie trivia meets Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah. It's a whole...
That's true. I do sit there in garters.
There's a lot going on. So who right
you,
now...
But we should explain to the audience. You say Rocky Horror Picture Show because of the involvement of the crowd.
Exactly.
That they have things they yell
not
out.
Not the lingerie.
Yeah.
You come out as Frankenfooter. But the who right now holds the record for your best celebrity player of... Of the
best player or most frequent or most famous
best player,
both,
because you know John Hamm's probably
really?
You know the best regular guest, like he's been on it a bunch of times, and he's pretty good at the games, but he's mostly good at just being hilarious,
okay,
and dry, you know.
Isn't it wild that he's a massive fan of the whole thing with the busy. You know,
yeah, he just, you know, he's just one of those serious, handsome guy actors that, like, you know, son really likes bitch. To cut loose. Did you see the episode of Kimmy Schmidt where he was
hilarious
in prison?
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And played that just crazy character.
Kimmy Schmidt, Preston, he was the cultish leader of the underground where she was. I don't know if you're familiar with the series. But she was kept underground, yeah. And he was the cultish leader of of the group, basically the David Koresh of the group.
And he basically held all these women underground for a long time, and the whole episode's about his life now that he's like in prison for that.
Right.
And he's still just a horrible, horrible person. But it's also hilarious.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like the idea that there's a comedy built around somebody that held women in a basement,
right.
and that it's so funny, It's
really well done.
It's such a good episode. Because I'm not really a fan of that show. Someone just turned me on to just watch that episode.
Yeah.
Because it holds up on its own very much,
well,
that
there's
episode.
There's a whole trial involving John Hamm. And Tina Fey plays a Marsha Clark, like attorney in one of the seasons. And so if you do revisit it, the trial of John Hamm.
Yeah, I should check out those episodes.
It's pretty phenomenal, yeah. He's an incredible actor who's very handsome and incredibly funny.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah,
so is
enough of that crap.
Is he the highest profile guest that you've ever had on, or
You've had Obama.
Yeah, he's probably maybe the highest profile. You know, there's I've definitely lucked out and had some really good ones over the years. One of my favorites was when John Lithgow came on.
Oh, man.
John he's such an Lithgow. Amazing actor, and then he's a really sweet man, but he's also down to play. Like,
he gets competitive.
He'd do anything.
I dig that.
Yeah, but he also, I mean, he swears.
When you know, like, oh, really?
It's, yeah, it's fun to hear him.
You see the guy who played Churchill in The Crown, and then he's the same guy in Buckaroo Banzai. You know, it's just an amazing.
And Dexter, and then he also writes and performs songs for children.
Does he really? And,
yeah, he's.
Wow.
Just crazy.
All right. So when you think of John Lithgow, what is the first movie that comes to mind? Movie or TV show that he's been in?
I got to say that in the Brian De Palma movie, Blowout.
Okay.
He's like the bad guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think his greatest role was in Dexter, but that's TV.
Yeah.
Do you know the first role that comes to mind for me? It's the first where I really became aware of him would be The World According to Garp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he played the...
football transsexual. Yeah.
Was she? Yeah.
Yeah.
Played for the Eagles, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Muldoon.
He's a great character.
Casey,
that.
I know what you're going to say because the first movie I think of is
Harry and the Hendersons.
What about Cliffhanger?
People of a certain age do love that movie.
Yeah.
It didn't hit me right.
No.
No.
It's a bad fun movie.
It's not bad. It's great.
It's pretty terrible, but it's fun. I love it. Yeah.
Did you watch Trial and Error? It was a show on NBC that came out last year, and it was a comedy, and they had a second season this year without him in it. But actually, speaking of Kimmy Schmidt, it was sort of a Kimmy Schmidt-style fake documentary.
Yeah, he was really funny in that first season. I don't know what's going on with it now.
No.
What about you? You, as legend has it, and you can say this is incorrect, but earlier on in your career, you were up for trying acting as a possible way to go, correct? Before stand-up, right?
Sure.
The focus is acting. Is that something you would still like to explore? You've done some stuff, but would it be something that take the Jonah Hill route? Because you're such a movie fan, or would it sully your enjoyment of movies to actually have to be in the process?
Well, I've gotten to, you know, write and produce some things and be, you know, be involved in some stuff. So I've had a taste of it, but it's
But you know what I'm talking about, like a full blown, you know, scripted deal. I mean, not that you haven't done that, but to the level that I think like a Jonah Hill type thing right now.
Yeah, I'm open to anything, but I'm really enjoying my life as a person who doesn't audition for anything.
Yeah. You know, like, look at Kevin Smith.
The phone rings, they say, come play yourself on Trailer Park Boys. Come play yourself on You're the Worst, which, by the way, I'm in the next season, which is coming out next year.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, you know, I just started being this more of a celebrity than someone who can disappear into a character. And, you know...
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that. Cause...
I still get to, you know, do stuff on camera, and some of it's scripted, some of it's improvised, you know, depending on which show it is, you know, and I love all that stuff. I hear from people all the time about the Curb Your Enthusiasm that I'm in.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay, cool.
Did one episode of that show, but whenever people are, you know, binging the whole thing from, because I'm all the way back in season two, but it was so much fun to do, and then it's
a good place to be at.
Yeah, and it keeps coming around.
Know? And you can sort of pick and choose, because I was just thinking about Kevin Smith just posted a picture of him. You know, the Weight Watchers. He's down to 190 pounds, but he's directing a TV, like the DC shows. You know, he's like Supergirl and some of the other stuff.
Yeah,
he's loving life. He's got all this other stuff, and we've talked to him, and there's you know he's. Many times, and he just seems in a really happy place. You know, where
he's in a really high place.
A really high place. Yeah. Exactly.
He's in a high place in his career.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the thing, is he has a very busy schedule, but he's smoking weed through all of it. I'll tell you that.
No, there are more outlets now than ever before, obviously, and so you can stay relevant, you can stay active with podcasting, with YouTube, with social media, and with touring, and so... there are advantages now that didn't exist even 5-10 years ago, you know? And so I think that for somebody like you who has a voice that people want to hear, that you have more outlets and a way to reach ears like John Hamm's or John Lithgow's that maybe didn't exist a while back. Do you think that's accurate?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Twitter was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And now for society, I think it's a bad thing.
Yeah. It is horrible.
You know, it's really terrible. But, you know, for a while there.
I was.
We become
a global community.
It was really fun, and also, but also, then when serious things would happen, you'd hear about it via Twitter and believe it.
Now
it's just anybody can say anything. And
you've kind of shifted back to just promotion now on Twitter. There's less commentary, I think.
I don't blame people for not, you know, being into my feed, but I'm just like, I'm not sitting around all day trying to think of, you know. As soon as you look at Twitter, you get so angry.
Yeah. Oh, my
that,
God.
That, like, you know, all your jokes are just going to be about how angry you are and how messed up everything is. So, it is a different place
than
it used to be. Yeah, it's sad, but, you know, I don't. I feel like it could swing back around. I certainly like the fact that it feels like kids have completely abandoned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like a place where...
For Instagram and Snapchat.
Exactly.
It's wherever you can get the best picture, the best lighting. So that's part of the deal. You know, so how many... You're working on new shows? I'm looking at the list of shows you've been involved with and currently are involved with. Are you adding more to the roster, or is this just enough... for what you have now?
I don't know. Like, I just, things just sort of come along, or I get an idea and decide to run with it. You know, like right now I'm sort of mulling the idea of, you know, coming up with another podcast, because at least I can get a lot of sampling with a new one. Because that's another thing that's happened.
When
podcasting started, if you had one, it was kind of special. And now every comedian has one, and everybody that wants to say anything has one.
It's too much.
And there's so many that anyone that's brand new, unless you're already, you know, if you're a famous person that decides to start a podcast, you'd be in okay shape.
But even then,
it's so competitive now, and there's so much. Because even people who listen to podcasts only have so many... hours
in a day.
They can, you know, they maybe have four if they have a 2-hour commute or something.
Would you consider, because Norm Macdonald actually ported his YouTube with Netflix and Letterman producing it, but his show's now on Netflix. Would you ever consider a Doug Love, or have you ever thought of the notion of Doug Love's movies on Netflix or something like that?
I've thought, you know, it's come up and I've thought about it, but I love the audio format.
I love that
it's just audio. So, like, I've, you know, sort of resisted it over the years, because also it's not a slick game show. It's really, it's just people sitting around. Having fun and playing games, you
it's
know?
It's still great, though.
Being stupid. So, and then my YouTube show, Getting Doug with High, that just, we just celebrated our 5th year of that.
Wow.
And in spite of all the legalization and that it's legal in California where we do the show, it's still really hard to get guests to come
really?
On and smoke on camera.
No
it's
kidding.
Still, there's still people are worried about what's going to do their careers, or their family's going to see it, or they're going to influence their kids. You know, all sorts of reasons. And it's tough.
Isn't that wild?
Tired of having Todd Glass on your show?
It's so funny you say that, because for the 5th anniversary episode, I said, who's been on the most? And they said, Todd Glass. And I go, okay, let's get Todd. And I go, and let's get the first guest that we ever had. Jenny Slate, she's a little busy now.
Yeah.
Well, let's get the second guest. Anthony Jeselnik, he's got too much going on. Like, these people have even... move, even though they're willing to smoke on camera, they've also got, you know, really busy careers.
Yeah. Right.
Just saw Jenny Slate in Venom.
But, she's in that?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet because it's not rated R. Why is it rated PG-13?
That is
a perfect, you know, Deadpool.
Right.
Logan and Deadpool are my favorite superhero movies of the last few years, is because our rating is really great for that.
It makes a difference.
It really makes it more of a you know, for lack of a better word, adult movie. it doesn't feel like you're just going to see a kid's thing.
Sometimes it sucks when you see the ratings start to come in and you see, it's like, oh man, why did they make this PG? What, you know, and the original, that's why when they stuck hardcore and it's part of the original sales of the first Deadpool to let all the, this is going to be R.
Yeah.
And we're going for it. And that really made such a difference. And that opened the gate for being able to do other ones. But yeah, you're right. Why is Venom? Why didn't they hardcore Venom?
I think they just, you know, the bottom line is that it'll probably make more money as a PG-13.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, and also that's like we were talking about with Walking Dead, the superhero movies are getting away with more and more violence because they're just creating ways to do violent things that aren't bloody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, like as long as there's no bloodshed.
You're right.
You know, so as long as it's like a you know, like Infinity War was that army of monsters. So they could just do anything to those monsters.
Yeah.
You know, and when a person gets killed or hurt, it's because they got thrown really far.
Right.
Like that's the thing in Marvel movies now is people just get thrown really far all the time.
Right.
And then they just get up and go, oh, that hurt. You know, and they don't even show bruises or anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, that seems to me more harmful than if it's just make it R and make it. You know, show the blood.
It's a rash of throwings.
All right, if you're just jumping in, our buddy Doug Benson is here. He's going to be at a Helium Comedy Club tonight at 7:30 for Doug Loves Movie, the podcast live. It's a blast. We've been a part of it on several occasions, and there are a few tickets remaining. So go to heliumcomedy.com. Doug's going to stick around for
yes.
We have to take a break. We have the cast members of the film Mid-90s, which Doug has said he saw and loved at this festival recently. It's going to be in theaters next Friday on the 19th, and we have, I believe, four of the cast members. We're scheduled for the cast members here in the studio. We'll see, because things change between times. And so
occasionally.
Forth. And then we're also going to have Doug stick around for Michael Giacchino, who's going to be on the show as well, world-renowned composer for films, and it's his birthday today, too, so we have a lot going on. Let's take a break, come back in a second with all of that and more. And we have a secret text word today. We've got more passes to give away for the cream of the scream. We'll do that coming up Tuesday with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the movie that we welcome our guests from is called Mid-90s. So we need some Mid-90s music to play. So Marissa recommended some Rancid.
All right.
Throw that on. All right. So the movie is called Mid-90s. It's out on October 19th. And we have four people here that are in the film and very interesting. And Doug saw this movie at a festival. And you said it was the best one of the lot, correct?
I enjoyed it very much, yes. All Everyone right. should see it on October 19th.
All right, so we want to welcome to our studio four guys. We have Sonny, Nakel, we have Ryder, and Olin, who are all here this morning. Guys, welcome to Philadelphia, first of all. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right, so first of all, let's go age range for you guys. How old are you, Sonny?
I'm 13.
13 years old. And Nakel, you?
I'm 24.
Ryder?
20.
And?
22.
Oh, and 22. All right. So have you guys done some acting before this, or is this the first time out for you guys?
I've done acting before.
Okay. What'd you do?
I was in the movie The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
You work with Gus Van Sant, the director, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, writer? No, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was...
How long ago?
I can't say the name of the guy who directed Killing of a Sacred Deer. He's got a tricky name, right?
Oh, Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I've heard it so many times, so I'm like pretty familiar with it. It was pretty hard.
Yeah. Now, Cal, who are you texting over there, man?
I'm alive.
I'm live too.
Now, have you done any acting?
No, this is my first time.
All right, cool. How about you, Ryder?
I've done a couple of short films with my friends,
okay.
But this is like the first...
This first real big project.
Thing, yeah.
And Olin, you?
This is my first acting experience.
Okay. Now, Doug, do me a favor. Set up, you know, the vibe of the movie, because I only know just a little bit about it.
Well, it's basically about Sonny plays a young man who falls into a crowd of skateboarders who take him under his wing, and they... teach them some great things and some not so good things. they're kind of a good influence and a bad influence at the same time. But he's got an older brother played by Lucas Hedges who's very violent towards him and treats him badly. So he finds these other guys and bonds with them.
So this sort of becomes like your family outside of your regular family. You hang with these guys, and it's the experience of just being out in the street with these guys and living life and trying to escape your home life, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. It's got to be cool because I was reading an interview with Jonah Hill talking about how he auditioned all of you guys. And for you, Sonny, he said he was looking for a smaller kid but like larger than life in your personality. Where did he first actually see you or meet you at a skate park?
Yeah, he met me at a skate park. I didn't just go for an audition. He didn't even know I acted. He was just like, yo, I mean, you're trying to be in a movie. And I was like, oh, I mean, I'm 100% down. And then I started telling him that I was in Yorgos's film. And he knew Yorgos, and then he called Yorgos, and then Yorgos put in a good word for me.
I mean, what are the odds? What are the odds? He goes down and he's scoping out the scene. Now, that's with you. Nikhil, you're obviously, you come from the skating world. And yes. So how did you answer the audition? I mean, you kind of came with your credentials, but in the movie, you have some pretty demanding scenes. And as Jonah was saying, you know, you delivered and then some. So how did you end up at the audition? Because your career is going well outside of acting.
Mikey Alfred, one of the co-producers, that's one of my best friends, and he got involved with the movie early on, before the casting process, and you know, he would like just talk about it a little bit, like just like friendly stuff, you know, like, oh, I met Jonah, oh, Jonah's making a movie about skating. Then it kind of came down to the casting process, and he was like, yo, I think it would be dope if you were a part of this. So we kind of did maybe some little behind the scenes rehearsals, like me and him and like Ryder and Olin and stuff, and
just to get up to speed.
Did
you have any fear of it, or did you think you would be able to because that's to come from one realm and then to sort of kind of lay out your bare emotions in front of a crew and everything, is that something that was daunting, or did you say, okay, let's just go?
It was like a little nerve-wracking because you know, in skateboarding, that's not like a that's not like a huge a thing. A lot of people don't like transcend or try different stuff.
Right.
So I was pretty nervous, but once I got it was kind of like, all right, well, I can't look stupid or make the casting.
You're all in. Everybody. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Start working on it, yeah.
So, and then from what I understand, Olin, is that how it's pronounced, right? Olin or Olan?
Olin, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
so Jonah was saying they almost forgot to audition you, that you came yeah, and like you were like, yeah, this guy's awesome, this guy's awesome. And they never actually put you through the paces. So, how did that end up? Did they just call you and say, you got it, or did you have to come back in and audition? Or
nah, so I originally went in and to, like, one of the auditions, and then I ended up just having a conversation with Jonah, like, laughing about just, like, one of my life stories. And then I left the audition, but then I got called back to go into, like, either two or three consecutive auditions that were all scripted.
Okay.
And then after those three auditions, I forgot how long it was, but then he just called me when I was on the freeway and was like, let's make a movie.
Yeah, because you're playing younger in the movie, wow. I assume, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I would peg you for like 16, 17, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. So skateboarding keeps you young, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Ryder, all you guys, and Ryder, you all very accomplished skateboarders. You have endorsement deals, you know. When does that come to you? Because we're seeing, you know, young kids getting endorsements and so on and so forth. What was your first endorsement in the skating world?
I think just meeting the co-producer, Mike Alfred, who's a really good friend of mine. I skate for his skateboard company, but also just everything I've ever wanted to do,
he's the guy?
He's the business guy that knows every person.
Are you just out like we don't, because it's an alien world to us, like we've known in this area, obviously growing up, we have the Jackass crew and Bam Margera and all those guys, and we've been Tony Hawk over the years and people that we've encountered, but now are there like scouts that are out at skate parks that just the way baseball scouts work, or how does it work, Nikhil?
You just go hard and then you film. And then people, you kind of send your footage out, shop it around, and then if people see something in you, then they start giving you some stuff and seeing like how you do,
kind of traveling around and mixing with certain teams and stuff.
Are you suspicious of? I mean, are there a lot of people pretending to do that, or do you have someone look out for you? Or just do you guys? Because you're still, you know, you're younger guys, but you're not, you know.
That's
you're not business. You know, you don't like. Pretty, do you have an agent?
That's one of the funny things about skateboarding. You know, it's not like the movie industry. And it's kind of easy for a lot of skateboarders to get, like, taken advantage of.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But, yeah, I guess, like, now it is easier to find skateboarding agents and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's big money.
Well, what are you guys hoping for, you know, if this movie does well? What do you hope, Olam, what do you hope this does for you?
Well, no matter what, I want to continue in acting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just fell in love with the art of taking words off of paper that someone wrote out of their mind and then portraying what you take in from those words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it make you feel good? Because Jonah was just like, you know, another, I was watching a clip of him going off about how you guys delivered what he put on paper, what he wanted to see. This very loving sort of, you know, assessment of this world and the complex story. And like you guys delivered it for me. That's got to make you feel good, especially this early on in your career.
For sure. I think Jonah really created like a really healthy environment on set where we all just felt like we were hanging out. And that's what brought that out of at least me.
Yeah. Yeah. Does the movie ring true to your experience as far as, you know, just outside of the characters and stuff? We were talking about this earlier with Doug, because it's taking place in the 90s and there were a lot of skateboards things and stuff that had not been invented technique wise. Did you have to sort of learn older tricks or make sure you weren't doing new stuff that had been developed, or was that even a consideration?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy having to play down your skating.
I would imagine. Yeah.
I had to learn how to not skate because I've been skating for so long.
Because it's so instinctive, right? I mean, this is what you guys do in your sleep.
Sonny's character learns in the movie. Like, you watch him learn to do a trick, and it's really fun to watch but feels real, but obviously you're faking it.
So you had to pretend like you were a newcomer at first and skate badly.
That would piss me off if I was really good and had to act like I sucked. Yeah. Yeah.
Surprisingly, the wardrobe kind of helped a lot. And, the boards that we were skating, because, you know, nowadays you skate bigger boards, bigger wheels.
Yeah.
Slimmer pants.
Stuff. Yeah, slimmer pants and slimmer shoes. So being on like a skinny board with tiny wheels, it just kind of helped just get us all into character, I feel like, too.
Do you ever want to see those boards again, or are you done with it?
I mean, I used to skate like size 7 boards when I was like 9, and that's like probably you can't really see, but it was really small. And then, I mean, for me, I couldn't really skate too well, but for them, it's a
different size. I mean, these are all considerations. It's something that we don't, you know. I was talking, I can't do any of it, but we marvel at it. Like for you, Nicole, I was reading the skateboarding is always going to be the center of what you do. Do you see acting running neck and neck, or is it just you'll flirt with it occasionally?
I guess right now, while I still have it in my body to like really fall and really try to go hard and stuff, I'll probably be like flirting with acting.
Okay, all right.
It's definitely something that I really enjoyed it in. I'm trying to get more roles and do more.
But look at this. I mean, Superbad was the breakout film for Jonah. He rewrote it. And then this is him directing as well. So this is another step. And I mean, you know, and this the critical response to this is huge, and especially for you guys who are all being, you know, all being called discoveries. What's been the biggest shock? Is anyone else? I mean, you have the world famous Doug Benson here, who's a big fan. Have you been contacted by anybody, or has anybody else reached out to you to let you know how impressed they were with your performances?
Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, no way.
Oh, my.
That's a good one.
Look at that smile on that. Yeah, there you go. Said that.
Like Adam Levine. It's so many
Adam Levine.
I was just
okay.
Like,
mm-hmm. Adam Levine.
How do you know me like that?
Zoe Kravitz would be. You could stop right there. That's cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Anybody else?
I didn't meet any of those.
Nope. you're totally screwed out of this. Yeah.
Come on, man. All right. Well, anyway, we want to give you everybody the heads up that the movie Mid-90s is open up a week from Friday. It's out on October 19th, and it's obviously got the name brand with Jonah Hill and his debut. But, you know, I mean, we highly trust Doug's opinion, who has seen it.
Yes, I'm right about this.
You are right about this.
And it's a passion project for Jonah Hill, and he delivers, Doug. The film is...
Oh, it's everything about it's fantastic. I really, really loved it. And all the performances by these four guys, they're all going to get to continue to act if that's what they want to do.
That's awesome.
I've heard an analogy comparing the movie in a loving, glowing kind of a way to Stand By Me. That it's a coming of age, and that these kids are growing up.
Skate by me.
There's no dead body. That's the difference.
Right. Does it have a soundtrack to it, Doug? That was kind of notable.
Oh yeah, I mean, Jonah was really into the music and did that thing where he sort of wrote to certain music, and then worked hard to get that music into the film.
Okay,
it's not just corny. Like it's not just obvious '90s songs.
It's authentic. Yeah. Did you guys dig the music that's used in the movie, or was it corny to you?
Nah, it wasn't corny. I'm not from the '90s, yeah. So like a lot of the stuff was new to me.
Yeah,
but it was just like '90s classics or stuff that people would listen to in the '90s.
So it worked.
It really worked.
That's cool.
All right, cool, man. All right, well, listen, go check out the film. October 19th, it'll be open. Good luck to you guys, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Fresh group of people just starting
off.
It's
awesome.
It's really cool. So let's hear it for Sonny and Raquel and Ryder and Olin. Mid-90s, October 19th. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We'll continue our Doug Benson movie chat. We're going to have our friend Michael Giacchino on the program when we return. Stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MM Army. What's going
on? Join Marissa Magnata Thursday from 7 to 9 as the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over Misconduct, 1801 John F. Kennedy Boulevard in Center City. Catch the game and win Eagles tickets, an autographed football courtesy of Bud Light, and Bud Light Philly special t-shirts. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood. MMR's big friggin' deal. Enjoy a dinner cruise for two on the Spirit of Philadelphia for just $100. That's 50% off. Your cruise includes a dinner buffet, amazing views of the city, and a DJ with dancing as you cruise the Delaware River. Get this exclusive offer through Sunday or while supplies last at WMMR.com.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
John Stamos.
What's your favorite dinosaur?
Velociraptor.
Of course it is.
Favorite non-porn magazine to pleasure yourself to?
Good Housekeeping.
Did we just become best friends?
What? Yeah. Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Well, we hope we're best friends with our next guest.
We better be.
On the line right now. We even made a special jingle for him a while back.
Friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show.
And his name is Michael Giacchino.
I'm not going to play the whole thing.
Oh, man.
Well, just play the second.
Friend of the show. Friend of the show.
The second.
Friend of the show.
The second verse.
Michael Giacchino. Preston and Steve Show.
Preston and Steve Show.
Preston and Steve Show.
Preston and Steve Show on MMR.
On MMR.
That's why I didn't want to play the rest of it.
Michael would know this, but it's very Alex North soundtrack to Spartacus.
You know what? I think you're right about that. He is talking about many things with us this morning. Bad Times at the El Royale is the latest that will be hitting theaters on, October 12th. So it's coming out on Friday. And a short film that we all saw that is his...
Loved it.
...writing and directing. It's great. Please welcome our birthday boy friend, Mr. Michael Giacchino.
Hey,
happy birthday.
Thank you. I just woke up.
This is what we got for you. We got you an early wake-up call after being out all night celebrating your birthday.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. How is everyone?
Doing very well.
Yeah, we're doing awesome. And, our friend Doug Benson is here. Doug is, in case you do not know, is a very famous comedian. And he has a really awesome series called Doug Loves Movies. It's a podcast that he does. He does it live comedy shows and several other things. So we're inviting him in on this interview as well. So I wanted to introduce you guys.
Hey, Doug, how are you doing? I noticed I was looking at your site, and I noticed that you're going to be in California in December at Largo.
Yeah, that's where I do my annual 12 Guests of Christmas show, where I get 12 people up on stage, and it's a massive elimination trivia
is
game.
Is it? Will John Hamm be there for that? Hey, John Hamm is a perennial, right?
He just might. You know. He was on it last year, and I'm looking forward to doing it. I do them on both coasts. I do an East Coast version and a West Coast version.
Michael, this would be right up your alley.
I was looking at this. This looks fantastic. I mean, I love Largo. Largo's been, I once sang Star Wars sea shanties at Largo.
Star Wars sea shanties?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's amazing. Yeah.
I have to believe you.
We did a charity event, and they said, "Would you perform?" I was like, "Sure, if I can sing Star Wars sea shanties." And they said, "Sure." So I did.
Yeah, you have to have a bucket list, honestly.
I mean, is it possible to hear one?
Yeah.
Could you perform one for us now?
My ukulele's way over there.
Oh, no.
We'll wait.
Way over there.
We'll wait.
It's far.
Is it behind the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah, it's on the other side of the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah.
How is your singing voice? You pretty good?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Okay. I mean, I used to be in a band. I used to play in bars and places around Philadelphia, but that was a short-lived career.
What songs were you playing? Were they originals, or did you do cover stuff?
There were a few originals, but we did a lot of covers. You know, Eric Clapton and a lot of rock stuff. I mean, it's
cool.
B-52s, whatever. It was all over the map.
Where'd you play at the Coastline?
No, we played we played at places you would not have ever heard of.
Yeah?
We played at a place called Josh and Molly's, which doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. We played at this Mexican restaurant bar one time in Philly. I can't remember the name of it.
Really?
This was a long time ago. Wow. And then we played a couple of places in New York. We played Princeton. We played, we'd do it on weekends whenever we could, you know. And it was funny because whatever money we made, I mean, we really made no money because it would just go into the rental of whatever PA equipment we needed and all that. So,
Michael, was it one of those cases with the chicken wire in front of you and like Patrick Swayze was the bouncer?
Pretty much. That was pretty much Josh and Molly's down in Edgewater Park, yeah.
it's like Roadhouse. It's Double Deuce.
Well, we obviously want to talk to you about your projects and stuff, but there was a new sort of goal out of this interview, and I wanted to make sure that you and Doug Benson became best friends, because Doug does reside in the Los Angeles area, and he is a cinephile like yourself.
Well, it would be great. You'll have to come out one night with my friends. We have usually a standing Tuesday night outing, which is really fun. So,
well, I have to tell you, Michael, if Doug becomes best friends with you before I can get out and be with you, I'll blow my goddamn brains out, because I got rooked out of the last deal.
Hey, you know, you make your choices.
I know. I did. I had to move into a new house or go. I chose poorly.
Hey, so
nice. Does Patton Oswalt go on any of your outings with you?
Let's see. I've seen him in circles and different things, but we haven't done the, he hasn't come out, but I should ask him out. This is normally my friend Kirk and David. You know, David Silverman works on The Simpsons, and Kirk has worked with the Muppets for years, and we're just, it's the three of us, we're best friends, and we just kind of make it a point to just see each other every Tuesday night for dinner.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Patton Oswalt, because Patton Oswalt is in.
That's why I mentioned it.
There you go. Look at you.
He's the star of his directing debut.
Oh, yeah. No, Patton is amazing and one of the smartest people I know, and just, you know, and also one of the funniest people I know. But, yeah, when I was sort of, you know, I made movies as a kid all growing up. And when I fell into music, I sort of stopped making movies. And I just got to this point where I was like, I really just miss making movies. So I called up Patton and I pitched him this silly idea for this movie. And I was like, hey, do you want to do this? And he was like, sure, let's do it. So we did.
All right, and there's a number of names. Who else is in this, Michael? In this short film, by the way, it's called Monster Challenge, for those who aren't familiar.
Yeah, and it's got Patton Oswalt, Dermot Mulroney, Ben Schwartz, Amy Brenneman, Tom Everett Scott, Benedict Wong. There's an Avenger in this movie. Which
There is. Yeah. No, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's loaded, and they're all friends, and were very sweet to you know, give me their time and do this. We shot it in 3.5 days, and it's just it's an insane thing, as you know, you've seen it.
Kudos to you on it. I would have responded immediately, but I wanted to wait to do it live on the air, and I mean, it's a sort of a loving homage to the crazy Japanese game show that you always see.
Yeah, yeah.
You always see YouTube clips. Yeah.
There's two things that I love that really inspired this. Was one is Japan and those Japanese game shows. The other is just kaiju movies like Godzilla and all of that stuff.
Love them.
I mean, I loved those things growing up, and you know, and then later, you know, and then I thought, well, why not just put them both together and see what happens. So, yeah, that's what it is. And it's a, you know, but it's got heart. It's, you know, it's also a bit of a, you know, it's got a nice little story to it. So
listen, you know, obviously the music is not a bad choice for you. It's working out. But would you ever consider at least contributing input on a kaiju movie that, you know, the new, I assume you've seen the stuff for the new Godzilla.
Yeah, I love the new trailer for that. It's great.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's like right up my alley. The style of the new trailer, I can only hope that the entire movie is done that way.
Hey, I kid you not, my wife will laugh at me in point, but I break down crying at the end of the first Godzilla film there. When he gets up and you see the Chiron on the screen, it says, Godzilla, savior of our city.
That's so good.
He did save the city.
Michael, did you do the music for Monster Challenge?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yep.
And your sister did the wardrobe, right?
My sister did the human costume design. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and she was associate producer on it. And my buddy at Bad Robot, he produced the whole thing. And, you know, we had a lot of friends who kind of helped out in all these different areas. And, you know, it took a long time to do because when you're doing things for free, you know, you just got to wait until people have the time to do it. So the visual effects and all of that kind of took a while, but it ended up looking great. And, you know, I had an incredible crew who helped out. It was just, that's the thing I love about when you're doing a short like this.
Yeah.
People do it. You can see the people who actually really love making movies because they all jump in and want to help and they put in their time. And it's really an amazing thing that they do for you. It's so generous and just wonderful. But at the end of the day, you're like, yeah, we all just love movies. And
yeah.
the chance to make something together is always welcome.
There's proof to that because, and herein, I'm not as big a movie guy as, I mean, I love films, but I don't seek out stuff as much as Steve does and Doug here and know all the background of it. But short films, where do you see them? Who sees them? I don't know.
I mean, you know, there's more and more platforms for them. You can see them on Apple TV, or you can go to Funny or Die, or things like that. And so there's more opportunities to see them than there ever was before. Right now, mine showed in a theater for a week here in Los Angeles, just because you have to do that in order to qualify for certain festivals.
Right.
So right now it's just going around to festivals, but I would imagine at some point it's going to be online and for everyone to see.
There's a great outlet for short films called Pornhub.
Oh, and yeah.
Many of them
different.
Run less than a minute.
Yeah.
There's thousands. Yeah.
I don't want to see that Monster Challenge.
Very specific genre.
Just loads of independent films.
Oh, my God. Hey, let's talk about Bad Times at the El Royale. Now, Doug has seen the film. And,
oh, good.
And yeah, but I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah, no, he's given a thumbs up, though.
It's pretty intense, isn't it?
It's intense, and it's twisty. It's like, I say this about all movies, but this is a great example of less you know about it going in, the better.
I agree 100%. And all my friends who are like, well, tell me about it. I'm like, no, just go see it.
Would it be correct to say that it has a, from what I can glean from what I've seen, and I love stuff like this. I love a high concept. I love the fact that it sort of seems like, what if the Hotel California existed and there was, you have the classic movie Grand Hotel, where you have people with differing stories check in, and there are all different things that happen, but there's betrayal and backstabbing and like a Tarantino-esque collection of characters. Is that fair? Yeah,
I think it's fair to say that. I think it's definitely a noir-laced movie, you know, for sure in that arena. I think it's a mystery. It's suspenseful. It's everything. But the thing about it is the acting is amazing. The writing is incredible. Drew Goddard, who wrote the film, is a friend of mine. Drew and I met when we were working on Alias together years ago, and then we worked on Lost together, and then he wrote Cloverfield, which I did, and then and now this, which has been great. So he's not only an amazing writer and an amazing director, he's just the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
You have Chris Hemsworth, you have Dakota Johnson, who looks super badass and sexy.
Yeah, John Hamm.
Jeff Bridges, John Hamm. And, yeah. I mean, that's a stellar cast. Let me ask you, with Dakota Johnson on set, was she dating Chris Martin at the time?
You know what? I have no idea.
Okay, because I was wondering if he tried to weasel his way into the soundtrack.
No, not that I know of. He didn't try and do anything. No. No. He let me out of it.
All right, because you don't mess with the Michael Giacchino. Uh-huh.
No. He wouldn't have even dared. He would not have dared.
All right.
So looking at, and all I've gone by is the trailer here, and the colors are very vivid. The lighting and the shadows are very stark. It's got a real, you know, noir. It's got a very specific look to this. Now, what I learned is when Nick and I came out for the visit with you, and we were surprised when we're watching sequences of Spider-Man that hadn't been finished yet. And I had asked you, we had done an interview, and I said, well, the movie's, I mean, it's done now, right? And you guys are just, and you're like, oh, no. I know the trailers are on everything, but ain't there, it is not done yet. And
no, there's no such thing as done until, like, you're watching it in a movie theater.
Wow. So how do you have an idea? Because you've got to write this music well in advance of all this stuff is done. How do you have an idea of the tone? Is it simply on what the directors and writers have told you? Do you look at some sample mock-ups that they've done ahead of time, a combination of all these things?
No, well, you know, the film will be, when I come on board, the film will be mostly done to the point where I can watch it. You know, now the things that change along the way as I'm working on it are things within the scenes. They might change or edit a scene differently, or they might swap around where the scenes are in the film to see if the structure works any better that way. So they're always experimenting on that end, but at least I'll have a form of it that I can work to.
Okay.
So that's always fine. It's just afterwards, this after I write it and then I get a new version of it, I go, God, what did they do now? Like, it's like, you know, it's like trying to play or paint checkers while someone's playing or something like that. It just keeps moving around.
Okay.
It's hard to do, but it's, you know, it is what it is. And then at the very end, you can always music edit things if you have to. If things change after you record it, you can always edit the music, the audio, if you have to. So there's ways to keep up with it.
I love when I see people like Chris Pratt sing your praises, and he'll do it on Twitter and Instagram. And in this movie, it's got Chris Hemsworth and Jeff Bridges, as we talked about before. Even the poster looks a little Avengers-like. And I'm looking, you know, at the Bad Times at El Royale. It's got Chris Hemsworth with his shirt off. Does the guy ever keep his shirt on?
I don't think so. I
mean, why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you?
I think it has been scientifically proven that if he does not have a shirt on, you sell twice as many tickets.
Do you know who keeps his shirt on all the time? Bruce Valanche. And that's a good reason. When you're in this kind of shape, you can take your shirt off.
You guys should do your show with no shirts.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That'd be in radio. We could really. That's why we're on radio. It's basically the entertainment version of the FBI witness relocation program.
Hey, Michael, I follow you on Instagram. You post great pictures and videos from time to time. I had a question about, you know, what you write for the musicians who are going to perform this, because you had a video. And I'll follow this up with a question. You had a video, and I forgot what score it was for, but it was your timpani player, your percussionist.
Oh, yeah, Don, yeah.
Oh, my God. What he was doing was insanely complex.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the kind of thing he doesn't get a chance to see beforehand. He just shows up.
Wow.
Well, I'm kind of like, what do you have me do?
Well, I'm amazed by that. I've told you that on a number of occasions, that these people are looking at the music for the first time. They've never rehearsed it, and they just play it, and they do it. But have you ever asked for a little too much where you're like, I hope they can pull this off, you know?
Here's the thing. Yes, I'm sure that I have. I'm absolutely sure that I have. But they always want to try and do what's on the page. No, it's like a big challenge to them. That's like their fun for the day.
Yeah.
Can I do this, you know?
Yeah.
So they just go into it. And if in the end that it can't be done, then we discuss it and we adjust it and change it so it can be. But for the most part, I would say they just dig their teeth right into it.
So with Bad Times at the El Royale, it appears to be, and Doug sort of gave us the insight that there's a lot of actual song, you know, music to the time in the movie.
Yeah.
As you scoring the film, I would assume you would have input on selection of that as well, correct?
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending. But this was something that Drew picked while he was writing the movie.
Okay.
He had a very specific, you know, idea of what he wanted from those songs. So at the point of writing, he was actually choosing these things. And I remember it was funny when Drew first called me. Drew's like, I had just finished Incredibles, and I was just really exhausted from a long string of work, and I was going to take a break. And he called me, goes, "Would you do this movie with me?" I'm like, "Oh, Drew, I don't know. I'm really tired and this and that." And he's like, "Come on, it's only 30 minutes of music. Please, would you? It's only 30 minutes of music." And I'm like, "Really?" I was like, "Okay, all right, 30 minutes of music, fine, I'll do it." Well, in the end, it ended up being like 85 minutes of music that had to be written. So he sort of bamboozled me in his exuberance to get to work together. So, but it was fun, and I'm super happy I did it.
It's a cool thing. On that level of that part of it, because obviously you can compose, you create the music, but it would almost seem like the equivalent of putting together a cinematic mixtape. If you're scoring a movie and use pre-done songs and pieces, does that interest you at all?
I don't know. I mean, I love adding the subtext and the original sort of backbone
I love
doing that and being the one to try and help guide the audience as to what it is that they should be feeling and just give them that emotional roadmap for them to follow.
Well, it's working out.
And I enjoy that, yeah.
Yeah.
the other stuff, you know, when I hear that there's going to be songs and stuff like that in a film, part of me is kind of happy. I'm like, okay, that's that mile of time I don't have to worry about.
Yeah,
true. So, absolutely.
You know, it used to be in the beginning, I used to be just like, no, I want to do everything. Why can't I do everything? And now I'm like, hey, can't you put some more songs in here?
Yeah. And a Gata De Vida. Yeah.
Well, obviously, the film opens on Friday. Are you working on anything right now, or you got a little bit of a break?
I don't have anything until, and this is going to be your second chance to come out here. I don't have anything until the spring, which is going to be Spider-Man 2.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
All right. We'll be there.
All right, Casey says it.
I will burn down my house if I have to.
Yeah, no, I'm purposely taking some time off between now and then.
Okay.
Because it has literally been, bam, one thing after the other.
Well, since you have time off, we're going to be broadcasting our show from London in 2 weeks for the Eagles game. I think you should come out to London for a few days.
You know what? I almost was going to be out there.
You heard us say this just now.
And then you said you were going to be in London, and I said I should not. I'm not going. I'm going to wait.
Yes. Going to wait. We understand. Yeah.
No. I was supposed to go out. I was invited to go out to this great, you know, Prince Charles' 70th birthday gathering thing, and I'm going to be in New York next week. For some research work, and then I was going to, you know, the chance to go from there to London. But I was like, you know what? I have been enjoying being home cleaning my garage.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to do that, and I just kind of want to get.
How does one get a Prince Charles birthday invite?
It's I am friends with this group called the Mischief Theater Group, and they do a play called The Play That Goes Wrong. It was on Broadway. It's on the West End. It's amazing. These guys are some of my favorite people in the world. They're hilarious. So they asked if we would like to go as their guests to this because they're going to be performing.
Wow.
At the event, which would have been an amazing thing to go and see. But it was just, you know, it's a lot of travel.
You got to imagine the bounce house at that party is going to be amazing.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be a lot of gold and crystal.
But it wouldn't be a castle. That'd be too cliche, right?
No, right, yeah.
Something else.
Oh, I think it would be a castle. There's not that much imagination going on.
Nice. All right, well, listen, Michael, great to talk to you. Happy birthday once again. And, you know, if you're coming in town for the holidays, let us know. We'd love to see you in person, obviously.
That would be fun. Yes, absolutely. I'll be around. Yep.
All right, cool, man. And Bad Times at the El Royale is open in theaters on Friday. And also, if you get a chance to see it, Monster Challenge, a lot of fun. And it is Michael's directorial and writing debut. Have a great day, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you guys have a great day. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you, Michael. Excellent. He's such a great guy, such a talent, too. We're honored to have him as a friend. We got to take another break. We'll come back in just a moment. You guys stick around for a minute?
Sure.
All right, Doug Benson is here with us tonight at Helium Comedy Club. Doug loves movies. We'll be right back.
WMMR's live stream. Our daily programming available anytime, anywhere on your desktop, tablet, smartphone, or open the new MMR skill with Alexa. Great sound quality and the occasional bonus song. Nice.
It's been a busy day today.
It has been. It's been a very movie-centric day.
It very much so has. Our friend Doug Benson is still here with us this morning.
Yeah, I'm not going to leave.
Doug loves movies.
Tell Pierre I'm hanging out.
There's very few people that get a residency here on the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The podcast and performances taking place at Helium Comedy Club tonight at 7:30. If there are any tickets that remain, you may want to check on that. So here's what I'm going to do. Case, I think I'm going to do our secret text word winner now.
Okay.
Get that in the B file, and then we'll do the lesson question, all that stuff. So, Kathy.
Yes.
In your lovely doily that you're wearing today.
Doily?
You're wearing a doily.
Yes.
Shirt.
What is a number caller for our secret text word?
Please? 7.
All right. Caller number 7 at 215-263-WMMR. You do need to know the secret text word in order to win. We'll set you up with those tickets that we have. Jim Brewer's coming to town not till November. At the Queen in Wilmington, and we're going to do the Bizarre File while we're waiting for you to call in with that. So let's get to that now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
All right, this morning brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Let's see, where do we begin? Let's start in Russia. A man smashed 8 dome lamps on an escalator at the Taganskaya station in Moscow Metro. And being of a state of alcoholic intoxication, the man thought that the dome lamps were penguins.
He thought they were illuminated penguins?
Yeah, and that's why he was smashing them for some reason. A police officer arrested the man and sent him for interrogation.
You don't understand, they're penguins.
He admitted his guilt, said that he did not remember the motive for his actions, and agreed to pay the fine. He said that he was ashamed of his actions.
I'm very ashamed.
The man said that he had drunk a bottle of liquor and 5 liters of beer before taking a ride to the metro.
Just average day, full bottle of liquor and 5 beers, then off to work.
A criminal case was initiated against the man, and it cost him 40,000 rubles.
That's $6.
Yeah, it did. South Korea police said Tuesday that a paper lantern caused an explosion and massive fire at an oil storage site on the outskirts of Seoul on Sunday.
A paper lantern.
Yeah, my wife hates these things. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they look wonderful, but I'm always incredibly leery of them.
Well, yep. The conditions have to be absolutely perfect for those things to work. If there is the slightest breeze at all, you can't get it lit.
You cannot put them anywhere near your piles of dynamite.
No, you can't.
We almost burnt down a house we rented.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Landed on the wood deck.
I almost got into trouble last night because they blew out little tea candles before I was going up to bed. I'm like, I could have, my wife goes, I could have blown this. I'm like, I know. I just am worried.
I just didn't want to die overnight.
I don't want to die in a fire.
Police said in a briefing that a paper lantern crashed on the lawn of the oil tank on Sunday and caused an explosion and fire that lasted more than 17 hours, burning about 2.6 million liters of gasoline. The Daehan Oil Pipeline Corporation, operator of the oil storage, wasn't aware of the fire until for 18 minutes, as there was not a fire detected outside the storage tank.
Attention employees, from now on, no paper lanterns.
Authorities found footage which showed a man flying a paper lantern and smoke and fire starting from the lantern after it fell on the oil storage site. An investigation discovered that a Sri Lankan man who was working at a nearby construction site flew the lantern during his break. It flew about 300 meters and dropped on the lawn of the oil storage site. The lantern earlier traveled from an elementary school nearby.
Goddamn Sri Lankans.
Used them at a camping event on Saturday. Police plan to seek an arrest warrant for the Sri Lankan man.
Don't you, whenever you see those, the Thousand Lights festivals or whatever, when they send those things airborne.
Yeah, they got to land somewhere.
What happens?
They're supposed to go up and then they burn out and then the hot air stops and they come down. You assume that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
They usually do it like when there's water.
Right.
Yes. Nearby, like that, over a lake or ocean.
Right.
Not fields of gasoline.
Fields of gasoline.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Over this open methane hole.
See if you can figure this one out, okay? All right. This is in Kent, Washington. Police said a woman who was hit and killed by an SUV this weekend had laid down in the road during an argument with her husband, who she had hit in the head with a meat tenderizer.
Had hit? Okay, with like a mallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The SUV driver was drunk at the time. But so, and the guy driving the car was drunk, too.
Oh, awesome.
He was arrested on suspicion of vehicular homicide. The woman's husband called 911 late Saturday night to report that she was hitting him. During the call, police learned about an auto-pedestrian collision in the area just as the man began crying and saying something about his wife. When police arrived, they found the woman dead on the side of the road after being run over by a Ford Expedition.
She committed suicide?
No. They learned that she had been chasing her husband with the meat tenderizer, but stopped and laid down in the road before being hit.
I gotta go CP.
I don't know. Maybe she did. I don't know. Police said that they talked to the driver, who told them that he hadn't realized he had hit anybody, but stopped because he saw people waving at him in the mirror. Police thought the driver might be drunk. They gave him a blood test. He pointed to 0.21.
Wow.
Yikes. Well above the legal of .08. The man told police that he had 3 beers and 3 shots at a friend's birthday party. Police said,
how many rubles did it cost?
When they got to the station, the driver forgot that he had hit and killed someone despite being told so at the scene.
Did I actually hit someone and kill them?
That's just very, very strange. All right, and then we'll do one more story and we will wrap it up. All right, here's another winner.
Oh, boy.
4 New York teenagers say they're lucky to be alive after a driving instructor took them on a dangerous ride while he was allegedly intoxicated, eventually ending when he rear-ended another motor vehicle while the students called police at a McDonald's.
What a magical day.
The driving instructor, Russell Cohen, 58 years old, was arrested on charges of aggravated driving while intoxicated and endangering the welfare of a child. Cohen, a substitute instructor for the Suffolk Auto Driving School.
Suffolk, New York?
Yeah.
Of course.
Here's another one.
Yep.
Was given 4 teens a driving lesson on Long Island when he was allegedly drunk.
Okay, today we're going to depart a little bit from the syllabus.
Matt McKaig and Leela Mabanta, 2 16-year-olds who were in the vehicle with Cohen, said that the instructor began acting strangely shortly after the lesson began.
Because I'm drunk.
Mabanta recalled Cohen making inappropriate comments to her and another female caused them to feel really uncomfortable. Magoa had said, I'm happy I'm alive, after ending the whole thing, after it went over, because he had Cohen had told them that they had wanted them to drive him to a diner. So Cohen and the 3 teens stopped at the diner where the 58-year-old said he would buy food for them. He returned to the car, however, and he didn't have any food. He then demanded Magoa get out of the driver's seat so he could take the wheel. So this guy's drunk. His alleged erratic behavior continued. He hit a curb while driving 50 miles per hour before the students convinced him to drive to a McDonald's. The teens got out. They went into the McDonald's where the manager called the police. They said, we jumped out as soon as we possibly could. Police arrived. Before they could get there, though, Cohen drove off without the teens, and they didn't get him till about midnight. It was 11:45 a.m. after he rear-ended another vehicle. So this was their driving instructor.
I would suggest a refund.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, and there you go. That's what we have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we're going to see if we can get a winner for the lesson question. We were looking for caller number 7 per Kathy, and I'm going to go to Ralph and see if he knows it. Hey, Ralph, how you doing, man?
What's up? I still got a boner.
Look at him. He's got a boner.
Same guy from the other day?
I love it.
Yes.
All right, nice. All right, Ralph, do me a favor. Secret text word, please.
Is it a delicious goober?
Yes.
Nice. Tis goober, sir. One moment. Hang on the line. We're going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see Jim Brewer at the Queen in Wilmington on Thursday, November 15th. Some tickets remain at thequeenwilmington.com. And our random texter is Cassandra Shellhammer, who is from Whitehall. So she'll get the same thing. Congratulations. And we will take care of that. We are now going to do the lesson question. We're doing a lot of stuff here, Doug.
Yeah.
At the end of the show.
You didn't know what you got yourself into here.
Hey, Doug, do you want to come watch some radio?
It's like, it's really, really what's going on. Though your mic is open.
I'd jump in, but you guys are fast.
I know. It's we are.
All right, let's go to the lesson question. We're going to give away a 4-pack of Franklin Institute tickets. Journey back to Scandinavia. The Viking Age is coming up. So the question is, which board game involves as many people as possible standing on top of the game's cardboard box? 215-263-WMMR. Which board game involves as many people as possible standing on top of the game's cardboard box? You can't. Guess you won't. It's made up. All right. 215-263-WMMR. We're just seeing if you were listening earlier. Call now if you know the answer and you get through, you may win. We're going to do the trash while we're waiting for your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. This morning brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel up this fall. Dunkin' with $2 any size iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. Try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on, Steve?
Well, John Mayer went on a tirade during a charity concert Sunday night, raging against what he called toxic masculinity and saying men need to be better to women. Mayer says he came to this epiphany after successfully finger-blasting every starlet in Hollywood.
Wow.
Caitlyn Jenner's girlfriend, Sophia Hutchins, says the trans community treats the former Olympian unfairly because they mistakenly believe she voted for Donald Trump. Hutchins says that, in fact, Caitlyn never made it to vote because her enormous muscular toes kept ripping through her Louboutins.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Mike, the Situation Sorrentino, rushing ahead with plans to marry his college sweetheart, Lauren Peace, before he turns himself in to serve an 8-month prison sentence for tax fraud. In a related story, Sorrentino is also being investigated for fraudulently posing as a college student. And that's your Hollywood trap.
All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this. Which board game involves as many people as possible standing on top of the game's cardboard box? And I will go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Morning.
All right, Mike, do you know the answer, the name of the game where everybody stands on the box?
That would be the Indian Train.
Indian Train, yes.
Yes.
One so moment. Inspiring. Mike, you got it right. We are going to give you a 4-pack of tickets for the Franklin Institute journey back to Scandinavia in the Viking Age. Vikings Beyond the Legend is now open at the Franklin Institute. For tickets, you can visit fi.edu. All right, Doug, let's see if you know movie soundtracks. What movie is this from? It's a winning moment of the movie.
Yeah. Is this from The Natural?
Yeah! Ah!
All right, can you name the composer?
Nice.
It's not Michael Giacchino.
No. Get the other one, Casey.
He's a famous person, though.
Oh, it's, is it Randy Newman?
Yeah! Yes!
Well
done. Now, how about this one? This is another one. We use these when we have a big prize or just any prize we give away. We play these big anthemic pieces from movies. Here's another good one. I played this earlier. This is a tough one. Because it's actually more of a comedic film.
I just picture this playing under other things.
Right.
You know, like very triumphant moments.
It's a triumphant
Sophie's
moment.
Choice.
No, it's a triumphant moment. I will give you this. It's a comedic film, but it's a sports film as well.
Oh. Major League?
No.
That's a good guess, though.
That is a good
guess.
It's
a very good guess.
Because when they do win, there's great music.
Yeah,
sure,
imagine.
Sure.
No, this one, it's I'll zero it in even further. This
okay.
This will give it away. It's a golf movie.
Oh,
You know.
I do.
I'm nodding.
Tin Cup?
Yeah! Yeah!
Which all ties together because Don Johnson is Dakota Johnson's father,
yes.
And she's in the movie we're talking about with Michael Giacchino.
There you go.
All right.
What about this one? You ready?
All right, last one.
Oh, you know that.
Oh, Mission Impossible?
No. You can probably see it on Amazon.
No.
Not The Incredibles.
Is this a Giacchino, though?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
You can watch it on Amazon.
That's a clue?
Yeah,
that's a Steve actually clue. It is.
Anaconda?
close. No, it's a superhero movie.
That you can watch on Amazon.
I don't get that clue.
You will.
She's an Amazon.
Oh, she's an Amazon.
She's a Wonder Woman.
Yeah. It's not clue. These clues are not helping.
Yeah. Did you like Wonder Woman?
Who did that score?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
All right. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
It's a solid movie.
It's interesting, though, watching Wonder Woman in that movie and then in the Justice League.
Yeah.
Because when the movie's directed by a man, you get a lot more upskirt shots.
It's true. It's true.
Right? The one directed by a woman is very, she's always moving in a way that you don't look right up her skirt, but then.
She looks phenomenal.
When she's back with all the men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They go crazy.
I work with children.
All right, do we have one more?
Yeah, I don't think we'll get this one, but okay. We'll try it.
All right.
Hello?
super triumphant.
It's another sports movie.
Remember the Titans.
Oh,
it is?
Remember the Titans?
Okay.
I thought we were giving it to
you. You know what you can play? Play the romantic music we always play. I'm sure that's probably a good... I selected this because it's an iconic piece of music from a classic sci-fi film.
Blade Runner?
Yes!
Yeah,
yes!
Blade Runner.
That's correct, yes!
What, Nick? I got one for you, Doug. Leonard Maltin calls this sequel joyless.
Oh. We're playing the Leonard Maltin game.
It's because it shows up more than once in your on your program.
Yeah.
What does?
The movie that he refers to, that's a sequel that he refers to always, and when you bring
joyless.
It up. Joyless. He calls it joyless, this sequel.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Is it the sequel to the movie Joy?
It is not.
Joyless.
Yeah, they made one without Jennifer Lawrence.
It's a blockbuster that was made into a trilogy.
And the second one is Joyless?
Yeah, not starring Jennifer Lawrence.
According. Jennifer Lawrence is gone, and now everyone is joyless.
What is it?
Back to the Future 2.
I don't agree with that.
That's what Leonard said.
Joyless. Nah, Leonard's great, but he can be a little cantankerous.
It's frantic, that one. There's a lot going on.
Yes. It doesn't have the heart.
Too much for old men to handle.
I've gotten into arguments with our video producer, Nick Murphy, about, I want to say it's that movie, about Back to the Future 2, because I love it, but there's...
I don't love it more than the original, but it's a fun movie.
You can't leave 1985 to go to the future to see yourselves, because when you're in the future, yourselves have been missing for 30 years.
Okay, don't... The
it's a time paradox.
Yeah, if you get the paradox thing, that's a non-ending argument. Yeah. There's no resolution to that.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately.
Yeah, here's a crazy thought. Time travel doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So when we watch a movie about that, right. We have to accept
right.
that it's not real.
Right. And then it's called checking your brain at the door.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We have to do music news. One more segment here.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? So we spoke to the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yesterday as the nominations were rolled out for 2019. Just to remind you, Stevie Nicks, Radiohead, Todd Rundgren, Def Leppard, Janet Jackson, Devo, John Prine, Kraftwerk, LL Cool J, Radiohead, MC5, Rage Against the Machine, Roxy Music, Rufus and Chaka Khan, and the Zombies are all part of the group that you will get to shoot that with the voting entities will. And there is a fan vote as well.
So there'll be six selections?
There will be five selections. Oh, we went over this yesterday. I don't remember. I think it's five.
All right.
So one of the persons that's had a chance to speak about it and was asked for a comment was Def Leppard frontman Joe Elliott, because this is the first time that they have been asked to be a part of that list of nominees. He saw the final list of 2019 and was pretty flattered with the company that they're keeping. He said, "I just saw the list of who else is being nominated, and you're looking at people like Todd Rundgren, Roxy Music, Devo, and so on. And I'm thinking, okay, it took them long enough to get a nomination. So we were eligible in 1993. And I don't feel so bad now that we got overlooked. When you think about people like Todd and Roxy Music and stuff, I mean, they were the people that I was buying records of when I was 12 years old. So it helped put him into perspective.
Yeah, they seem to have a healthy attitude about where they are.
What does that mean, eligible since 93?
You have to be 25 years past the release of your first album.
Correct. Oh. And that's when you officially become...
They're honoring you for aging.
Qualified. Basically, yes. Yep.
Well,
not dying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for staying in the game.
Right. That's part of
but
it.
But although dying, too.
Yes.
They do a posthumous.
They've done posthumous yeah. Too.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And possum awards, too.
So why do you think they name, they do the list, like the nominees?
To get
like
people pissed off.
Right?
Yeah, part of it. And he has pretty much admitted that.
Because it's such an eclectic list.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to have something they love and something they hate on that list.
But now more than ever, when it first started, there was this wide list of people that were not in, and people freaked out more. Now there's a lot of people in it. So the a lot of the beloved bands that people would really champion are in it.
And to be honest, I think they look 5 or 6 or 7 years down the road as well. And they leave certain ones out on purpose because
yes.
they're going to say, look, in 5 years, we're going to need another good one. So let's hold off on nominating them.
Well, and Rainbow. All of these,
yeah.
Deep Purple is not on it, right?
Deep Purple hasn't been on there. Even and you can take bands from different genres of even pop and rock, like Duran Duran. And there's a lot of them. That haven't been named yet, and I think they hang on to some of them on purpose.
Are you a big... Do they do nominees that never ever get there? Like, don't you feel like all these people are going to get it eventually?
Not necessarily.
Interesting.
I think eventually, yes.
I think there's some that they just pretty much admit don't even have a shot.
But you know, but it does get people talking about it, and that's part of what they want. So,
yeah.
Stone Sour, Weezer, and Rage Against the Machine are just a few of the acts who will be providing exclusive items for Record Store Day's Black Friday event this year. And what is now a tradition, the organizers of Record Store Day are going to hold a satellite event on Black Friday. Though the day doesn't offer the number of releases as the main event in April, there are some exclusive limited edition releases to be had.
Quick question. Are your son still playing the records a lot?
Yeah, not as much.
Okay.
A little bit, yeah.
First, I got a turntable and his sons were...
Well, my son Carter's fascinated.
Carter's fascinated with the
technology, the retro technology of it all.
Are you an audiophile? Are you into... I always assume movies, but does music float your boat as well? Are you?
I mean, how can you love movies and not?
Yeah.
Not be into music? They seem, you know, they go hand in hand. In fact, mm-hmm. mostly what I listen to is
soundtracks.
Soundtracks, yeah.
There you go.
Usually ones with songs. I don't listen to scores as much. When I was a teenager, I listened to scores all the time.
That's me, and that's why having Giacchino on the show was so cool because I would buy rock and roll, but I'd also have a copy of Our Man Flint, you know, and bizarre soundtracks. I remember buying it. I told this story. It scarred me. I bought the soundtrack to Star Wars, you know, and what are you buying that for? Are you kidding me? And then look, history proved me correct.
By the way, programming note, Deep Purple is in the Rock and Roll.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
See, they finally listened to us.
I must have missed that one. Hmm. All right. Well, anyhow, moving along, a remastered version of Stone Sour's self-titled debut album is being released on limited edition vinyl for Black Friday. Hmm. The effort's also going to include a live CD recording in 2002 that will be limited to 2,500 copies. Meanwhile, Weezer is going to release a special edition of its cover of Toto's Africa. The limited edition 10-inch pure picture disc is going to be cut in the shape of Africa. And only 3,000 copies are going to be pressed.
Imagine having a song that is shaped like the thing they're singing about.
Yeah. Rage Against the Machine is making...
That's why I like their song, Hash Pipe.
It's so perfect.
Rage Against the Machine is making Live and Rare, a 1997 collection of live and demo takes available on vinyl for the first time ever. And the collection itself was previously only available in Japan and is limited to 5,000 copies. Garbage will release a brand new single called Destroying Angels, back with a live in the studio cover of David Bowie's Starman. And the 3,000 copy limited edition will be the first and only physical release of that song.
Didn't Toto reciprocally record a version of Hash Pipe?
They did.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was very cool.
Yep. Panic at the Disco. I missed this, Steve. Did you see the American Music Awards last
night?
Yes,
I did.
They paid tribute to Queen.
I must have sped through that. I DVR it and then watch it at 100 miles a second.
They apparently did a version of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really? How did I miss that?
I don't know. The singer, Brendon Urie, and company also won the award for Favorite Alternative Rock Artist at the event, although the award was not announced during the show broadcast, really.
Some of the cast members were there from the movie.
They've stopped announcing the Favorite Alt-Rock Art.
Why?
Enough. Because award shows suck.
Oh. Enough.
That's why.
This so particular one is like wall-to-wall performances.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole deal, is just to get all these people to come and lip-sync their songs.
Yeah. But it's all, pop rock or pop/rock and R&B, hip-hop, and country.
Yeah, it's not like the Grammys where you might have to sit through like a classical song or an opera.
I'll tell you what, though. The Grammys at least have some interesting eclectic pairings where I think I'm more inclined to watch the Grammys than I am this. Because, by the way, you're right. There was, like, Jennifer Lopez last night was There's no, I mean, she was basically doing the uneven parallel bars and managing to sing. I don't know how the hell you could do that.
Here, Marissa found a little bit of the, this is the whole thing. I'll play the beginning and then maybe skip to the more adventurous part of the song. That sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah. Almost as good as Kanye.
What'd you mean by that?
Don't you remember when Kanye did it at an award show?
No. He did Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I wonder if we have it still. I'm just a
That sounds pretty cool, man. Doug, we're all anticipating the Bohemian Rhapsody film.
It looks really good.
It does look really good.
It's a good trailer.
Yeah.
And that's a trailer I could watch because I know what happened to Freddie Mercury.
No secret. Yeah.
We know.
What happens?
Yeah.
I like how they're framing it, too, is that it's just the build-up to Live Aid. And so it's everything that happened, and then they don't really need to deal with anything afterwards. It's leading up to that moment on stage.
It's like the Twisted Sister documentary.
Oh my God.
You saw that, it takes it literally up to the point they become famous, and then it stops because that is really the story. And with the Queen, it's the fact that they ran against convention and were able to get longer form songs on radio at that time, sort of bucked the system.
Yeah, that's the trailer really makes it look like it'll just be fun to see them creating Bohemian Rhapsody and the blowback.
Yeah, I'm totally.
And now history is shown. You know, then it went on to be like in Wayne's World, and you know what I mean. Like it's such an iconic song, but at the time somebody had to argue with somebody to just get it.
Out there.
Totally. Let me fast forward this to see where we've gotten to. There you go. This song still gets me fired up when I hear it.
How can it still
work? Pretty sweet.
But to be able to hit that note, I mean, you have to have like extreme confidence in your vocal abilities.
Like a
Yoko Ono.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think, like, do you remember when it was Leif Garrett joined us in the studio
to sing Smells Like Teen Spirit with the Melvins?
What I can't remember is, did he bail in the middle of the song when he realized that he couldn't do it?
Yeah.
Yes, he did bail. Leif Garrett walked out to the stairs in our studio at the time and started crying. So we had to send our intern out.
He made like a leaf and left.
He got out of here.
But that high note in that song, I believe that was John Deacon, the drummer. Oh, God, now or is that the bass player? I'm dry. When we have Brian May here, he told us about that and that he get shot way up there and hit that
note. Oh, so that's
note.
Not Freddie Mercury?
That's not Freddie Mercury, no.
Oh. Yeah. All right, so do you want to hear Kanye?
No. I really don't.
Play it quickly. Mama,
like it. Yeah, let them do it.
But now,
Mima.
Oh my God.
I didn't mean to make you cry.
It's not.
No way.
This time tomorrow.
No.
It's a sing-along. It's not even trying.
It's karaoke.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's the guy who's drunk and thought he could hit the notes, got up there and realized that,
oh,
my God, I can't do this. We're in
Ireland.
We're in Ireland, man, and I'll never forget it. We were at a karaoke bar in Ireland the first time we went.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, and some guy gets up, and he's, and sure enough, the stereotypical, you too, he gets up there and
no, that
won.
Was,
that was in, this was in, I know the one in
Downey's,
at Downey's as well, but this happened in Ireland as well, and the guy's singing it, and he gets like a quarter way through the song, and he realizes he just can't hit the notes.
It's not going to work, yeah.
It was not
so excuse me now, I have to go home.
Yeah.
I have overestimated my capabilities.
All right. So anyhow, they performed that last night, which is cool. It's Panic at the Disco. One last thing. Joe Perry has rolled out a 10-city tour with his backing and, I'm sorry, with his backing band featuring fellow Aerosmith bandmate Brad Whitford and Extreme frontman Gary Jerome. They're going to be here in Philadelphia December 5th at North 7, which is what it's called now, right?
Yeah, North 7th?
North 7th? Formerly the Electric.
Snortdort.
Joe Perry, come see me at Snortdort.
Yep. This is going to be, like I said, December 5th, and according to Rolling Stone, the set list will feature a mix of songs from Perry's solo catalog, along with rarely played tracks from Aerosmith's earliest records, such as Toys in the Attic and Rocks.
Was Perry the main, co-writer on most of Aerosmith's hits?
Absolutely.
Whenever you have a story about Joe Perry or whatever, there's a picture in your prep, and he looks like Bonnie Raitt. doesn't he?
A little bit.
Yes.
It's a bad look. Yeah.
And he's a bad interview, man.
we love him.
Oh, my God.
He's super talented. He's just a terrible interview.
Horrible interview. I've interviewed him a couple times over the years and never had a good one. He just does not speak.
He's not, and that's really a sort of an essential part of an interview.
It can be. There you go. That's what we have in music news for you.
Did we give away all the Goosebumps movie passes?
Yeah, we did.
Are all gone?
Yep.
Just wanted to make sure. All right, cool. Sorry.
Yeah, so since you can't win those, come to Doug Loves Movies.
Yes.
Our tickets still available. We have to make sure. But yes,
you think,
find
you think
out.
Over the course of this show, it's sold out.
Yeah,
I would think
you
so.
Guys are powerful.
We try.
Honestly, we're career makers.
And I want to say that I'm not going to say which person in this room is going to be a guest tonight, but one of you,
it's true,
will be there.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, you know, it's not Preston, or maybe it is Preston,
or maybe he is such a good actor that it is him.
Want to do an episode with traffic updates, so it's going to be Kathy.
So I'm going to the Goosebumps movie.
Or is she?
All right. Find out tonight while you can get your tickets.
Be a Goosebumps tonight. Everyone have their snow caps, kids ready to go in.
If they are available, you can go to heliumcomedy.com. That's Kathy's song. All right. We are going to take a break, and we're going to thank Doug Benson for being here.
Thank you.
Great to see you, man. Always
great to see you guys.
We'll see if we can make a Hershey magnet happen next year.
We're going to try to extort them back, or we'll have to look for an option. But I don't want to have another summer without an amusement park and Doug Benson.
Well, whatever event you guys put together, I mean, if I wasn't here now, I would definitely be into coming to the thing 2 weeks from now, the gambling thing.
The gala.
That sounds so much fun. I'd be all over that if I was, in town.
Right.
Well, anytime you guys have a big thing coming up, let me know.
We do that Dorney thing every October, September.
Dorney's great. Yeah.
This year?
We already did it.
Yeah. Okay. But we don't broadcast there. We just we do an appearance there, but it's like the Halloween haunt thing, and it's all at night, and there are no lines for any of the rides.
Yeah, you're right. Awesome. You're riding the coasters, which they got some real deal serious stuff there, at optimum conditions.
Yep.
All right.
Love it.
So maybe we'll do that.
All right. Doug Benson, gang.
Yay! Thank you.
Love you, Doug. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Get ready to wrap things up. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Alice in Chains. Godsmack. I'm telling you, I'm
bulletproof. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Blues Traveler, John Popper. Dude had a heart attack while spanking his weenie.
He did.
Do you still have the harmonica that he gave you?
I still have the harmonica.
Was it the one in his mouth at the point of seizure?
I don't know if he was that happy.
But I wonder what did he play when he was sort of coming and going at the same time.
No, it scared him, man. He told us all about that in the studio. Poor guy. But he was like 300 pounds overweight.
If you're gonna go though, if the bill comes due, that's the way to go out.
No, it's not.
I would work so hard if I knew that was going to happen to finish what I started.
To make it a good one.
Yes, exactly.
That would suck if you died before.
You would go, Preston.
Oh, my God. It was almost there.
You would go for distance.
Yeah.
It's like the ultimate blue ball.
That's a personal best.
Can you say that?
Blue travel. I guess you did.
Kathy. All right.
That was Kathy Romano.
You know what she said yesterday?
What?
Oh, she said this.
Never trust the dick.
Wow.
See, it's buried.
Yeah. What was that? What were we talking about?
Never trust the...
I know, but what were we talking about?
It was... there was a guy's... Dick Wolf. The guy's name was Dick Wolf.
That's correct. All right. Anyhow, 10:54. Oh, my God. It's almost 11 o'clock. Steve, we have a meeting with Window Nation in 5 minutes.
Yes.
We have to hurry up.
You know, the eyes are the windows of the soul.
It is true. And we have to thank our guests on the program today. First and foremost, our long-term guest today, Doug Benson.
Yay!
Doug loves movies. He certainly does. That's why he stayed on all morning, because all of our other guests were movie-related, and Doug's going to be doing Doug Loves Movies tonight at Helium Comedy Club at 7:30. One of us will be there. You have to find out when you go tonight. So thank you to the cast of mid-90s. We had Sonny, Nickel, Ryder, and Olin. Very young, not really actors. Some of them dabbled a little, but for the most part, this is their first thing. And Doug said this is a great movie, and it's got a real gritty look to it.
They were very polite young men.
They were. And thank you to Michael Giacchino.
Yeah! Hey,
legendary Michael Giacchino, and still the nicest guy in the world. His latest project is called Bad Times at the El Royale. It's in theaters on Friday. He's got a short film that he wrote and directed. It's very fun. It stars Patton Oswalt. It's called Monster Challenge. And thank you also to Misconduct, who came by today. Marissa has the Bud Light Philly tour tomorrow night, and their food is great.
It is excellent.
I was, to be honest, I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
Because I know that they're mainly a sports bar, and you're not sure what to expect, but it was really fantastic what they brought in this morning. And their mission is to create mouthwatering food that will have guests craving to come back week after week for more. That's what they do. And there's something for everybody, from handcrafted burgers to a medley of beers on tap. Whether you want to watch the game or host a party for any occasion, Misconduct's neighborly hospitality is a crowd favorite for all. That's what I hear. So 1801 JFK Boulevard tomorrow, 7 to 9. They're giving away tickets to the Eagles-Cowboys game. So go, and some autographed items. Pierre Robert is indeed in our studio.
Good day.
Doug Benson said to tell you hi. He said he was going to stick around and do your show, too.
Excellent.
But he ended up taking off, so... we have a number of things that we need to do before we hand it over to you. We want to do the letter first?
Just dive right in, baby balls.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3.
Did you call me baby balls? I thought you said blue balls.
The Daily Letter.
I did say baby balls. Baby I don't balls. Know where that
baby balls.
It's all right, man.
That's a new one.
It's an audio Rorschach test when you come on the air, man. All right, so the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter...
H is in happiness.
All right, and you'll be happy to go see Kid Rock at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino in Atlantic City on October 19th, plus 4 food vouchers...
And oh, my balls!
2 rooms for the night. Kid Rock will take to the Edis Arena stage. Am I right about that?
Yes.
All right. And at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, October 19th and 20th, you can book your stay. And don't miss out on Kid Rock's epic heart-pounding show. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. So in about 2 minutes, we'll be ready for the birthday bucks word.
Actually, we're ready in about 20 seconds.
That's the real time clock.
God, the
actual time right now is 10:58. But when people hear this,
so no, okay.
That's what I mean. No, by the radio clock.
Yeah, the radio. Yeah, we should probably get to it, Mr. Man.
All right,
well,
I'll
tell you
it.
The what I have on the show.
Okay,
and then we'll hit the birthday bucks.
All right,
on the program, I will have a block for David Lee Roth's birthday, for Alice in Chains, and Rival Sons, and that's going to be our next Pierre Presents at the Ardmore Music Hall a couple of weeks from now, and I'll have some passes to give away for that, and birthday bucks at 1 p.m. and right now.
All right.
MMR's birthday bucks.
Got money to give away, man.
Absolutely. In our company-wide contest, the word is music. How could you not know that word? Music.
You have until 11:15 to enter via MMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. And our thanks to Sprouts Farmers Market and all of us here at 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. It's music.
All right. Good luck to you. Now, there's also a bit of an announcement, Pierre, that we're supposed to talk to you about from what I understand.
Oh.
Oh,
you announced
okay.
That was yesterday.
Yes.
Was that the rival Suns?
Oh, yeah. It was announced yesterday?
Yeah.
I apologize. Okay.
Breaking news.
Yes.
We're having a Pierre Presents, and it's going to be rival Suns, and it'll be at the Ardmore Music Hall, and I think it's the 23rd of the month. And I think that's what it is, and I know that I'll have some passes to give away in a workforce. Block later.
Nice.
There you are.
Andre Recording and Production is handling all that, so yes. It'll be a great copy of it that we'll have of the performance later on. But listen up to get the tickets, because these are really cool exclusive events. Pierre will have that for you. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston Steve Show brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston Steve Show, and Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston Steve Show. The Preston Steve Show runs on Dunkin' tomorrow. Couple of good friends in our studio. One is Mr. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, he's stopping by. The other one is comedian Gary Gulman. Gary's great.
He's great.
So we'll have those guys and more, and of course, another birthday bucks as well. So make sure you're with us. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. Sorry we went so late, Pierre.
Oh, it's all right.
We'll
word
see
is
you,
music.
Music. Good luck to you.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Everybody that has to give money out to people, stop licking your fingers before you touch the money. I have a cold now because of you.
Next message.
Holy that big boulevard is finally open. Oh, yeah. Now I hate Delco a little less today.
Next message.
Hey, man, it's some kind of conspiracy, man. I haven't seen a sunrise in months. Is it a zombie apocalypse? I don't know. I'm freaking out, man.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.